Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. You made it to the end of the week, and well done for that, because we all know January is probably the cuckest thing to get used to. But if you can make it through the next week or two, then you won't have to think about that anymore. January will be over, and then you can start the year in earnest.
We're slap bang in the middle.
Listen, there's still some people who are not at work. There are a few. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Look, I had someone return the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, guys, we've been here for ages.
I got an email reply from somebody this week, and they were like, in the email, automatic response, we'll be back in the office on January the 20-something. I'm like, what? What are you doing? Get
you
to work.
If you aren't here now, then get you don't
to,
come back.
Yeah, just stay away. Anyway, yeah, hope your Friday's off to a good start. We are here to make it even better, and we've got plenty of good stuff coming, including the reappearance of one of the show favorites and somebody who always makes us laugh and think. That's Temba Robin. Another person who makes us laugh and think, Leanne Moll, who's sitting right here. Hello, ass.
Hi.
Well, what's news?
Look, slap bang in the middle of January, the 16th.
Yeah.
So we've still got a very,
that's your
very
news,
solid
huh? You looked
two
at
weeks.
The calendar and said, this is newsworthy. We've got to tell, we've got to remind people.
Look, you've got to count the days until you die, right?
Oh, wow. You're such an optimist.
It's all just a distraction.
I found a guy you'll love. He's a motivational speaker, and I think he's your – yeah. You remember at the end of last year, James decided to bring all these motivational people. You remember James? Yeah.
I do, he says.
Yeah. James is one of those people who likes a bit of that motivation stuff. I've always loathed those kind of people. And I mean, some of them have one or two interesting things that you might not have done before. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week about the idea of, you know, keeping old neural pathways open. So you've got to improve your skills and all of that stuff, but you've got to open up new neural pathways. So you must do things like, for example, yeah, brush your teeth with your left hand every now and then.
Yes.
It's something challenging. Yeah. One of my friends believes in that stuff completely. And, you know, just so that you are always making your brain do a little bit more than is required, because your brain is lazy. I watched this fascinating video this week about the different layers of thinking, how you get like basic memorization at the bottom. Then you get, what the fuck, dude? James?
Is that Siri?
What are you sending me stuff for? Trying to do a show. Unbelievable. One day I'll get a producer I deserve. Anyway.
Fingers crossed.
So it's the different layers of thinking. At the top is creative thinking, original thinking, you know, the kind of thing where you come up with original ideas. And it got me thinking about how, because of AI, so many people are not doing any thinking anymore. They just copy and paste stuff. They ask AI questions. They don't really read the answer. They go, that looks good enough. Let me just send it to the person who asked the question. Mm. I mean, I'm not just talking about work, but think about email, for example. It used to be an easy thing for you to just write an email. Mm. Now, most people, before they even start writing the email, have asked AI to write the email for them. Every question that comes up, they try and use AI to sort out things. And I just worry, you know, what was it, 15 million years ago or something? There was a species that was an apex predator that was self-sufficient, dangerous, could roam in the wildest and most inhospitable parts of the world. And over the course of those 15 million years, it worked out that if it just changed the way it behaved and became dependent on another species – for food, for shelter, for comfort, for all of that stuff, that it wouldn't have to do all that stuff anymore. Mm. And then somewhere in that space of 15 million years, it forgot how to be dangerous, how to hunt, how to, you know, defend its territory, how to roam, how to seek resources. Talking about dogs, obviously. But I'm wondering if humans...
I thought you were talking about humans.
Well, this is it, right. I'm talking about dogs, but it could apply equally to humans because... If you consider that humans are now less good at all those, then most humans are not able, if there were a zombie apocalypse tomorrow, and I know this is some of our audience, this is their fantasy.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to find food, hunt for food. They wouldn't be able to create shelter out of nothing. Mm-hmm. There was this American scientist, I think his surname was Thoreau, who in the, I think it was the late 1840s, decided, and he was a Harvard graduate, very smart guy, decided he was going to go and live outside of what was then the industrial world, cities and all the rest of it, and build his own log cabin and learn to do things and become stronger and, you know, doing all of that stuff obviously heightened his mental and physical presentation to the world. And when he came back into society, by the way, he said during that time, and he wrote a number of works and articles and books on this stuff. He said during the time that he was out in the wild without what was considered technology then, but effectively all the creature comforts that we now take for granted in civilized society, mm-hmm. He said he was thinking clearly, he was sharper, he was more alert,
yeah.
He was physically more fit.
It's like camping for the modern man, or getting away for a weekend.
No, just doing a digital detox, for example.
Yes.
But the amazing thing is that if you don't work those new neural pathways in, and you don't train your brain to up the ante for the consequences of bad decisions to actually be worth avoiding, mm-hmm. or not just avoiding, but overcoming, you get dumber, right?
Your brain's so easily gets lazy, and then those pathways shut down.
Yeah. No,
they're not fired once or twice every now and then. They're shut down. Yesterday we had a brainstorming session about a brand, and we actually used our brains just for 10 minutes.
No.
10 minutes.
Yeah. No research,
just
no
put everything down,
no machines,
and just have a conversation, yeah. And think. Then
terrifying to most
take
people.
Those notes and put them into ChatGPT to do the slog work.
Yeah.
That we know is going to just take time.
Yeah, compile a bullet point document, yeah. Blah, 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 right. But
just take 10 minutes.
But
try and write that email first.
First, before we get to any of that, let's get this motivational guy who I think this guy is like perfect for Leanne.
Oh,
and
have you already set up a blind date?
I think you're going to, I think you're going to find him quite sexy. I think he's right up your street.
You know, motivational speakers, they're probably doing one of two things in the morning.
Yeah.
In the shower. They're either like talking up the soap and their whole process, and they're like, yeah, gotta do this, gotta do this today. Or they're crying. They're actually crying because they have to pretend to be happy and motivate people.
That's like so many comedians, right? They're actually miserable
people. They're actually
people.
Depressed.
But here, you decide. I mean, if you started this year without the requisite motivation, well, we're here to help. And so is this weird guy. Don't even know why he was on my feed, but I think this is perfect for you, Leanne. And I think he would make a very good husband.
Oh.
If he hasn't snapped up already.
Oh. I feel nauseous.
Living life under the tree. That is the life to be. Free to be. The dynamic, creative, abundant, victorious. Me. I am created to be. What are your dreams, your visions, your goals, your ambitions, your fantasies and your obsessions for 2026? Are you ready to maybe learn some new and exciting tricks? Maybe you are the one to teach others the old tricks. Well, let's make 2026 the year that we've been waiting for. Cheers. Enjoy.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the guy you've been waiting. Come on, Leanne.
That is, I'm cringing. So I don't know if I'm cringing or heaving.
Oh, come on. That hit you in the sweet spot.
You know, do you know what? Okay, you know what got me first?
What?
The bricks.
Oh,
as soon
Facebook,
as I see Facebook,
yeah.
I know we're dealing with a certain type of person. Okay?
You are such a snob.
Okay, it's the Facebook and the faux leather which got me first.
Ah, oh, come on.
But then, of course, the eyebrows and him asking me if I was ready to try new tricks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your fantasies.
Hey? It's very, very
you see
bad.
How he raised his eyebrows when he said, your fantasies.
Good teeth. That's all I can say.
Excellent teeth. All right, but this thing about learning and keeping your brain on top of things, being smart, reading, interacting with other human beings in a seriously meaningful conversation, being interested in something, having a hobby. A lot of people don't have anything. If they weren't working, I don't know what they'd do, watch TV or – and don't feel bad if you're that person. Just know that there is time for you to find a hobby. There's bound to be something that interests everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that guy's clearly motivated by something.
Well, I mean, he's a content creator. He's an influencer. What are you talking about?
He's got something to live for.
It's only a matter of time before you become influenced by him.
Eyebrows.
It's going to happen. Free to be me in 2026 under the tree. All right. So, hey, South Africa's full of interesting people. Mike Bullhaser was the first week back at school for people this week. And, you know, when it comes to like old school Gen X type stuff, Mike Bullhaser knows how to figure this out. Yeah. He was I didn't know, but he's got like he's also doing a content creation type thing. I mean, he's been on TV. He's a well-known investigator, you know, one of those smart, tough, practical people that we need in the world. He hasn't been on this show, but I did years ago. I mean, he's fascinating. I'd love to talk to him. You know, for a while he was Tall Ass Mo's neighbor and really good friend. I think they're still friends, but
jeez, I mean, about that.
What a strange combo that would be. Imagine you went to dinner at, or you met Tall Ass Mo for drinks and his best mate Mike Bullhaser came, or vice versa. You went to see Mike Bullhaser and you end up sitting next to Tall Ass Mo. I mean, I think it would be amazing. I'd love to go to one of those. Here's Mike Bullhaser worrying about something that we all should be worried about. It's like school, back to school. What kind of school experience are kids having? And I saw a report. I don't believe it because I just don't think they're telling us the truth. But apparently, the matric results are looking very good. Have you heard this?
Jeez. There was one girl that was brought up yesterday. Everyone was talking about her.
No, she's probably one of those 10 distinction kinds. I always hated and loathed those people.
I saw a photograph of her, and either she was very tall or the person she was with was very short. But we figured out she's very, very tall.
I hated and loathed them because they were not human. Well, no, I was just jealous. It was that simple.
Really?
It was pure envy. Yeah, because even though matric results don't really matter, they don't. I mean, that's the thing that nobody talks about, is that it's all just bands. If you got into the course that you want to study, or you've got a job lined up, or you want to go and do work experience somewhere, or maybe even take a year off, although I think that's bad, you don't need to have 10 distinctions, and you don't need to be in the top 0.005%. You just have to get like over 70, or, you know, in most courses it would be somewhere around there.
Yeah,
and you could study what you wanted to.
That might be the highest point of your life.
Well, I mean,
it's getting those distinctions,
it
and then,
could be.
Then life hits
it
you.
Could
and it's
be,
different.
But I do think, look, it's not completely useless. It gives you some idea of, like, if someone's getting 35% for everything, they're not going to be on the top of your list of hires if you're, you know, running a company. You don't want those underachievers. But again, I saw this amazing lecture that was given a while ago online, but this guy was talking about how the most likely candidates to start their own business, the people we need the most in South Africa, the people who are
proper entrepreneurs.
Yeah, the ones who get up of their own volition and go, and they can make shit happen. And they are people who are by nature rebellious. They don't really respond well to authority. So usually they have to do their own thing and start their own thing because they're trying to solve problems that maybe they see because the rest of us are just doing what we're told, which I thought was interesting. So it's more about attitude than results. But here's the story from Siviwe Hwarube, who is the Minister of Basic Education, which I always think is hilarious because basic education, right? But apparently the matric class of 2025 got 88% overall pass rate. That's pretty high. It hasn't been that high for a long time.
Can we just address, and I have no knowledge of it, I'm not an expert in this, the fact that the standard has dropped.
Yeah. Right? The pass rate is 35%.
Exactly.
If you get 35%, well done. You're dunce. You got through South African school.
If you were a surgeon,
school.
You may have put a scratch on the person's belly.
Yeah.
That's as far as you got.
But anyway, it's up from 87.3%. Not that much better, but that was 2024. KwaZulu-Natal is the top performing province. Now, this is where I start to go, don't know about
that. Who's doing the stats?
Yeah, apparently they got 90.6% pass rate in KZN. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's probably nonsense. Am I wrong?
The province has faced a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Perhaps these people are hardening up and becoming really resilient.
Apparently, it is the largest matric cohort in history, too. So at least we're getting more and more matrics through the system, because you remember that really depressing statistic that was published, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, where they said that of all the kids who enter grade one, only a fraction make it all the way to matric. So people are falling out all the time. Anyway, there are concerns about mathematics participation and warning against lowering standards, to your point earlier. Over 345,000 learners who went through matric this year. Strong performances also recorded by pupils in disadvantaged and no-fee schools. Well, just because you're poor doesn't mean you're stupid.
Mm.
And just because you're rich doesn't mean you're clever.
Yeah.
Especially because often if you're a school kid, it's your parents that are rich or poor, not you. You know, maybe if you think you have advantages because your parents have lots of money, but you're a complete moron, it doesn't mean you're going to have any kind of advantage over your classmates. In fact, it may be a disadvantage, overconfidence.
Yep.
You know, you think, well, I don't have to worry about this. My dad's rich. Mm-hmm. Whereas the poor kid who's hungry and needs to make it happen works that much harder, gets better results. There are all kinds of reasons to take that into consideration. But Mike Ballace is concerned about discipline, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to be a teacher, would you?
I almost was.
But would you want to?
I had a bursary. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to TED, Transvaal Education
teacher
Department.
What age would you have taught?
I'm not sure how the Transvaal Education Department would have.
What do you think?
Would have placed me? But
what age? Because you wouldn't be a for little kids. You would be a horrible person to those little children.
Listen, I used to read stories to little children.
No. You would be
underprivileged little children.
Leanne, you would be horrible.
And they called me Tita Leanne.
You'd pinch them. You would punish them. You'd be horrible. You'd be a horrible teacher for little kids.
My grandfather used to wait until my gran had gone inside the shops or wherever we were, and then he'd physically torture us.
No, nice. Well, that's what Mike Bullace says you need. Take a look.
So julle onnies het 'n groot probleem, 'n fucking moerse probleem, want in die ou dae, as jy skeef gekyk het of nie geluister het of nie jou huiswerk gedoen het nie, as jy gebliksem. Daai dae is lankal al verby. As jy deesdae skeef kyk vir 'n kind of raas of hom bliksem, dan eindig jy op in die tronk. Is baie moeilik om beheer uit te oefen, maar beheer kom van die huisgesin af eerste. En as jy 'n onbeheerste kind het wat ongedissiplineerd is en wetteloos is en hy is by jou in die skool, wat maak jy as 'n onnie? Die beste is maar om strengste reëls, regulasies toe te pas. En when push comes to shove, sit jy daai kind uit die skool uit as hy onbeheerbaar is. Dan moet hy maar op sy eie groot word.
I love that.
I like when he leans forward and he's like, yeah, you motherfuckers.
He'd like to say more.
No, he would.
But it feels like, it feels like his opinion and effort is wasted on something like guiding teachers, because he's seen so much and done so much and knows so much.
I think someone like him is never wasted, and we need more people like him, and we need them in authority positions. He needs to – I mean, imagine that guy –
He wants to bring bliksoming back.
Bringing back bliksoming, BBB. rather than BEE, we need BBB. We need bring back bliximing, and then everything will get better. Like you could tell, even in America, we spoke about this briefly the other day, but you could see all these protesters in Minnesota, for example, who are all...
Oh, they're your favorite type,
middle-aged white liberal women. Right now, I mean, I don't hate any cohort, but these guys are making it very difficult for me to love them. They really are. These are some of the most deranged, and they're filming themselves. It's not like anyone's just filming them, and we're seeing, like, you know, behind the mask. They kind of drop the mask for a second, and they show you how crazy they are filming their own emotional mental breakdowns and their totally unregulated behavior. They're the ones recording it and putting it on the internet. So it's nobody's fault but theirs. But you see these people and you're like, well, if you'd just been beaten more as a child, seriously, if you'd just got a few more claps, like, you'd know, you get the feeling like some of these people just don't have anything, especially in a place like America, where a lot of these, very few of these women are from like poor or working class backgrounds, right? They must be supremely comfortable, which is why they use the words I'm uncomfortable whenever things don't exactly go their way. Being uncomfortable is kind of the point of being human. If you are too comfortable, you just go backwards. But they always say, I'm feeling uncomfortable or unsafe, or I don't feel like I'm heard. And so many of these people, if they'd just got a few claps when they were younger, they'd be grateful just to not be being bliximed.
Yeah.
So, and they're irresponsible to nobody, right? Because no one will actually physically discipline a woman. We look down on that for good reason in 2026. So there's no threat of physical danger. There's no threat of being countermanded because we've created this bullshit idea in our heads that, you know, particular groups are allowed to say whatever they want and other groups are not. And women are given, you know, you often hear in like these arguments, particularly among younger women, they're like, as a woman, or don't speak while the woman's speaking, or can I finish? You know, all these things that are uniquely the province of girls, for example. You just get the idea that they've never actually been put in their place, and their place is not having a loud opinion and being out there protesting. It's actually doing something quiet and important, but not making a nuisance of yourself. Clearly, no one in that cohort got that message. They are making a big nuisance of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes why the ICE agents or police have to shoot them in the head.
But it's just...
they're just out of control.
It's just how their worlds are small. That's the thing.
Yeah, but they also want to be important. You know, some of these people don't have jobs. How many times a week can you go to the hairdresser or have tea with your friends? You're going to need something that makes you feel important. And so many of them don't have kids, so they don't feel like they are in the process of nurturing young minds, growing the next generation, making sure that they're making the human race a better thing to be a part of. So this is how they get involved in the world. They climb in an SUV and they go and like park on their hooter for 3 minutes in Minnesota for some Somalian refugee to not be taken by the immigration authorities. And they get themselves into trouble. I went down an unbelievable rabbit hole the other day. And I'm sorry I did, because it was on a Sunday. I didn't have a lot to do, but
on the Lord's Day of all days.
But Leanne, I was in this miasma of watching these videos, and obviously then the algorithm clicked on to what I was watching, of like crazy. There was a lot of women, but there were also a lot of men.
Your algorithm is definitely because we
being arrested. Have you seen these videos of how like these dumb people, the police come up to them and they say, hi ma'am, you were speeding, or hi sir, your license is expired, or whatever stuff that happens to us in South Africa as well. These people just don't cooperate with the police. They're either drunk or they're high or they're like,
yeah, I get scared a lot of those or whatever. Too.
they just get themselves into deeper and deeper shit.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not running down my window. And you could see the policeman's like,
I know my rights. I know my rights.
Like, honey, just if you just do what he says, Chris Rock did this amazing piece of comedy years ago where he's basically like, if you don't want your ass beat by the cops, here are some simple tips. Number one, don't do crime. Like, number two, when they stop you, don't talk back to them. Do whatever they say. You could always fight them in court or whatever, but that's not the moment you look for trouble. Anyway, the algorithm was throwing up these videos of these insane people resisting arrest, being tased, screaming, like it just mad human behavior. After, I'm so embarrassed, it was like an hour or two, maybe even three, okay, and then I was just like on the screen and I thought, by the end of it, I was so unhappy about humanity.
No, it makes you angry. It does like, make me angry.
We don't want to live in this world with people. These are people who are just unhinged. Mm. There's no control in their life at all. There's just, it's all this mad emotional flurry of noise and craziness. They don't have any normal responsibilities.
You want to send them on to Survivor, the show, or to some like weird camp.
Yeah, if you could find a weird camp for them, I'm all ears.
I think Mike Bullace might have
Mike
something.
Bullace must start a camp like that. How to discipline.
Imagine a disciplinarian, like, you know, course.
I often used to feel hard done by when I got disciplined by my parents.
Because that's how you're supposed to feel.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I hate you.
That's the you're whole so reason mean. Behind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you think other kids' parents didn't do that. They, Johnny, you've been naughty. You must go to your room or whatever. We got blixamed.
No, I remember the other day.
And I felt like I was hard done by, but then I look at Johnny now, and Johnny's a total fucking nutcase who is on social media looking for attention, or he's got four kids from three different women, and none of them are nice kids, and he's like a deadbeat.
I don't remember any kids who weren't disciplined in my era. We were
yeah, but you were in Mondeor. You
get,
that was like being in the wild, right? Mondeor was
Glen Vista, not Mondeor.
But Glen Vista is quite smart.
Yeah, Glen Vista was the posh area of the south, and so was our school. That's
like saying the nice part of Afghanistan.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm certainly not boasting.
We live in good neighborhood of Kabul. Oh, really? That's terrific. Nice for you. Oh, man. All right. So Mike Bullace is talking about back to school and how there's no discipline.
Back to blixaming.
BBB. Bring back blixam. We can't even speak this morning. But this guy has some interesting observations about how Gen Z are the first generation. This is kind of scary. Gen Z are the first generation in measured statistical history, which means like three or four generations, I'm not saying everybody, but usually people develop better cognitive abilities than the generation before them. I'll let him explain it because he's a neuroscientist and a researcher in learning. He used to be a teacher, as he'll explain. Take a look at this, because if you've got a Gen Z kid or you're Gen Z yourself or you're interested in Gen Z, they keep coming up. We've got to pay attention. Here's what you need to know about learning.
Jared Cooney Horvath. I'm a former teacher turned cognitive neuroscientist who focuses on human learning. A sad fact our generation has to face is this. Our kids are less cognitively capable than we were at their age. Since we've been standardizing and measuring cognitive development since the late 1800s, every generation has outperformed their parents. And that's exactly what we want. We want sharper kids. And the reason for this largely has been school. Each generation spends more time in school. We use school to develop our cognition. Congratulations, you see your correlation. Until Gen Z. Gen Z is the first generation in modern history to underperform us on basically every cognitive measure we have, from basic attention to memory to literacy to numeracy to executive functioning to even general IQ, even though they go to more school than we did. So why? What happened? What happened around 2010 that decoupled schooling from cognitive development? It can't be school. Schools basically look the same. It can't be biology. This hasn't enough time to change. The answer appears to be the tools we are using within schools to drive that learning. If you look at the data, once countries adopt digital technology widely in schools, performance goes down significantly. to the point where kids who use computers about 5 hours per day in school for learning purposes will score over 2/3 of a standard deviation less than kids who rarely or never touch tech at school. And that's across 80 countries. Bring it home to the US. Let's go to the US. We have our NAEP. That's our big data. Here's a fun experiment you can try. Take any state NAEP data. Compare that to when that state adopted one-to-one technology widely and watch what happens. The NAEP data will plateau and then start to drop. When tech enters education, learning goes down.
Again, progress, but at what cost? And what are we progressing towards? Because if you're not progressing towards something which is actually good for you and good for people in general, and it's just technology for technology's sake.
But, okay, so obviously we can't think of Gen Z as little children anymore because they're in the workplace, right?
Yeah,
we know this.
Hey, how's it been?
Yeah, okay. I just saw some. They're in the
There's
wild.
Some Gen Zs in there.
Scurrying in the back there.
But how come the Gen Zs that are being served to us are sometimes not even computer literate? How am I, as a Gen Xer, who grew up with an analog clock and editing tape from reel to reel to produce audio by cutting it and putting sellotape on it, how am I more computer literate than them?
I'm so angry. I don't know.
Just angry.
But it is interesting because the idea that your cognitive ability is declining despite all of this amazing technology around you, the point that guy was making is that
something else. It's not computers.
You're not learning. No. He said that. That the means of education has changed. That's what he's identified as the problem. It's not that you just have screens around you and that, I mean, that all this information is available, right? But you don't learn the best way that way because we're also so distracted all the time.
Yeah, but we've also kind of gone from the stage of learning to entertaining. Like we spoke about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many distractions because we're making cool shit now. Like AI should be this thing that propels us to the stratosphere. No, it's got Saddam Hussein fucking playing darts with like Bin Laden for 30 seconds. You know, it's shit like that. Like we've just got this fascination with creating cool shit. And that's where the thing, it reached that point where it was like, remember when we first looked at computers, Leanne? It was DOS or some shit like that. And then there was the joke about having a stiffy. But on that stiffy, you could have a whole new world. You can save stuff. That was cool because it put us here, like pen and paper, to another platform. Uh-huh. Now we've gone over that hill. Are we going down this hill looking at jokes, looking at porn, looking at all kinds of stuff? Because we've gone past that. Technology is now on this, like, on the other side of the mountain, and we're just sliding down this pit of distraction.
And I think you're right that entertainment is a big part of it. So I don't know if anybody in the world still cares about the Golden Globes. They had their lowest ratings ever.
Didn't even know that happened.
Exactly. And they had, you know, again, these are the people who are meant to entertain us. Hollywood.
That was their job.
Hollywood is on such a downhill slide at the moment. They made less money this year than any other year in history. Obviously, I mentioned the ratings at the Golden Globes because no one cares about actors congratulating themselves and taking up political points of view. Mark Ruffalo, who's known for the Hulk, right?
He's the fucking
Hulk.
He had a big speech.
Yeah, you have this guy talking about Venezuela. He's like, oh, we've got a dictator. Trump is an evil guy. Now, I disagree with him completely politically, but Mark Ruffalo has been wrong about almost everything. Did he mention, if he's going to go on a political rant, the issue that we should all be talking about, and we will in a short while, but Iran, where there are people actually putting their life on the line. And they say that hundreds, if not thousands, of young Iranians have been shot, executed in the street by the Iranian regime, by these Ayatollahs and the IRG, the Iranian Republican Guard. Does he mention that? No, because it doesn't fit into his political point of view. It doesn't align with the narrative that he's trying. So this guy, Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk, is wearing a pin saying anti-ICE or whatever.
Oh, no, it's good. Be good. In honor of the woman who was shot, whose surname was Good.
There's that. And then Ariana Grande was wearing a different badge. But, you know, really your job, guys, if you're in movies, in music, shut up and do that.
but it's not good enough. Like,
shut up and do that.
That's, that's exactly the point.
I don't want it's the just... Hulk's fucking opinion on politics.
But would you even be speaking about Mark Ruffalo or remember him?
No, but we would be.
He can't just be an actor anymore. He's got to do life, something more.
But his life and ours would be better if he just stuck to the Hulk.
But unfortunately, because we've created this flood of entertainment and cool shit, he's drowning. Yeah. So he can't be the Hulk anymore, to your point. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe
so all needs, of these people, right. I think they would not like to be political, but because they're drowning in this pool and this endless deluge of entertainment, they have to stand up and now be virtuous.
To survive.
These people aren't incredibly smart, Gareth, let's be honest.
Do you know anything?
But they have to stand out like that.
Let me ask you this, because just to counter your argument, I accept it, but I think there are examples of the contrary. Do you know anything about the political opinions of Denzel Washington or Tom Cruise?
Do we know? No. Do we care? No.
No, but notice that they're not out there saying what they think politically.
Yeah, it's because they look. Tom Cruise is not a much higher echelon of celebrity.
Tom Cruise is not putting on a pussy hat and going and joining a riot.
No, because he's got Mission Impossible.
Wearing a bat, exactly. He's a real movie star.
Yeah, because he's got
Denzel Washington, real movie star.
Mark Ruffalo is a fucking CGI.
That's right.
So he has to have the political shtick to go onto that. So Tom Cruise is like, going back to the flood analogy. It's a good week for that, obviously. But going back to the flood
shame,
analogy.
Shame, they are having terrible floods in Limpopo.
Oh,
no,
we'll talk about the Kruger. Yeah, it's terrible.
You just came back from there, right?
No, I'm going next month.
Oh, I thought you were in, okay.
No, so the whole thing is like, Tom Cruise, Denzel Washington, they're in the arc. They're above all these kind of things. They're overly buoyant. Everyone else is just like slopping in the water because it's just taken over this riverbed. And the riverbed was narrow because it used to be actors. Now it's influencers. Now it's porn stars. Now it's like table tennis players with no pants on. Fuck you. Call it what you want. But they're all there. So there's Mark Ruffalo going, but I'm the Hulk. And everyone's like, ah, whatever. My mother's also a Hulk. It's like, okay, well, I'm a Hulk that likes leftists. And like, cool. You're rising top of middle. You know, Black Mirror did all this a long time ago where it's like, you know, if you want to get up and be away from these things, you've got to be controversial or you've got to be super, super talented.
Hey,
and that was the actual episode. If you can sing or you can politically rant, you go up. Otherwise, you stay down.
I think that since Ricky Gervais, though, the Golden Globes has completely disappeared off the agenda.
Well, he shined the light into what these people are.
And they didn't like it. Huh?
Was he was obviously not host this time.
Right? He was.
Was he?
No, not this time, but years ago. That was the last time I watched. I don't know about you. The only reason I know about this Ruffalo thing is because the politics
That's
is
what
full.
You say, but every year you bring this shit up. Oh, did you? Oh, no one's watching the Oscars. No, because you give it all the fucking airtime. Yeah.
Who cares about Miss World? Miss South Africa.
You're there.
You told us last year. You told us last year how important Miss World was. We wouldn't have known all that shit about the infighting or Miss Jamaica falling off the stage or any of that. That was interesting. I see Vyasan says, I have an eldest who has just passed matric. And now the five-year-old starts school. Babies in your 40s is no joke.
Oy.
Well done, dude. I mean, that's cool. You've got quite an age gap between the oldest and the youngest, though. Yeah. Huh? And then entrepreneurs are selling test papers before exams. That's why the matric pass rate.
No, those are called crooks. That's not you. We're an entrepreneur. You're a crook.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's just easier to cheat.
Lower the pass rate to 0% and we'll have 100% pass rate, says Bitcoin Boot. How clever. See, he should be Minister of Education.
Yeah.
That guy would have solved all the ANC's problems and all of our basic education department's problems. The diligence of the Zulu is unassuming, says Slippery Pickle. I suppose you're saying that because KZN got the highest pass rate. And then Dear Linda says, obviously, call me ignorant or whatever, but computers are the end of our brains. Some youngsters don't even know how to actually write on a pen and paper. Well, to prove it, I've got a piece of paper here and I've got a pen. I was using it this morning. Handwriting is just so bad. I saw...
My own is. Yes. I can't point fingers at all.
Yes. what I have for you guys, though, sad news. I know you're going to be devastated by this.
Oh boy.
Someone called Dion George, who I didn't even know existed, apparently resigned from the DA this week. It's big news among the DA and news outlets in South Africa, but I swear to God, this is the first time I've ever seen this man in my life. The only reason I knew he existed is because Jonathan Witt told me there was this leftist weirdo in the DA who kind of used to control things from the inside. He was sort of important in the party. And that was one of the reasons that you must always watch the DA with both eyes. You know, everybody thinks you don't have to watch the DA. The ANC are the crooks. You got to watch the DA too. He's some sort of globalist lefty who was all keen on like green energy and shit. It's probably his fault that we've got so many horrible windmills polluting the skies of the Eastern Cape.
Are you also against the windmills?
Of course I'm against them. You know how many birds they kill and how ugly they fucking are? And they generate this much electricity, Leanne.
Please tell me what those fucking things do other than change like
horizons. If you, and I hate the Eastern Cape, you know that. There's nothing in that province. Maybe that Van Stadens River Valley with that's very beautiful. Knysna's quite pretty. Plets, okay. St. Francis is lovely. But the rest of the province you could really just throw in the toilet and recycle. Anyway, horrible as it is, there are parts of the Eastern Cape that are very beautiful. Like the road between PE and
you
Plets.
Say the road out of the Eastern Cape.
No, but you drive through all these. You know, it's pretty landscape. You've got mountains up on the one side. You've got the ocean on the other. You've got these dramatic sort of vistas. Very nice. Except now they've put windmills, those ugly big three-spoke windmills that turn like this, by the way, slow as cancer, generate this much electricity and make everything worse. The birds are being massacred because they fly into those things and the big blades just chop them to pieces. They're ruining what could be a very nice part of the country, all because of these green energy whack jobs who somehow the EU convinced our government we should be listening. Everybody's now got solar panels on their houses, but that's because we can't trust Eskom. And now we've got these ugly windmills all over the Eastern Cape and other parts of the country too. They've got them all over Europe as well.
The world, even on the island of the Seychelles.
Sure, hideous. Must all be torn down. You know, you have to replace them like in 10 years' time anyway.
That's just it. Don't worry about tearing them down. They fall down by themselves.
Yeah. And then probably murder something on the ground, some animal that's foraging or whatever. Listen, bad idea. Just a bad idea. It's terrible. And this guy was big on all that kind of thing. He made he gave an exclusive interview to ENCA. I'm going to give them credit for this. And this is what he had to say. I've never seen this guy in my life, but I am thrilled that he's no longer in any political party. Just you'll see what I mean when you hear him talk.
Today, I have written to the Democratic Alliance to cancel my party membership that I have held since 1995. I also resign as the party's chairperson of federal finance and as a member of parliament of the Republic of South Africa, where I was first sworn in on 17 January 2008. The situation has become intolerable. I'm being pushed out, and it is no longer feasible for me to remain in the party. I heard via the media on 7 November 2025 that John Steenhuisen had written to the president to request my removal as Minister of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment while I was representing our country at COP30 in Brazil. My attorneys have requested documents.
Oh.
I was sworn in.
People
give Gary Player a tough time about talking by himself too much. That oak, who no one knows.
Have you ever seen him before?
No, but no. I feel like that's why he had to, I was there since 1995. I was sworn.
So apparently he was also minister. In that clip you could see he was saying he was Minister of Forests and Fisheries or something.
Forestry and Fishery.
I'm
so surprised he didn't divulge that he was the class captain from 1991 to 19.
I was vice head boy for culture. We had a local councillor resign this week, but he's been well hated for years. In fact, his nickname has the word cunt in it.
Or just the cunt.
What, on the neighborhood group?
Yes.
Already? That's fantastic.
Everyone was like, yeah, he's finally resigned. In fact, there were even laughing, crying emojis in comment as reactions on his actual message.
Well, first time I've seen the guy. Honestly. No idea.
It's a weird one, this, because if you're a ward councillor, like, who the fuck wants to be a ward councillor?
No, you've got
all day. this traffic light's out, this. Yeah, so basically that sucks, right?
Horrible job.
All you're doing is fighting all day against everything.
Look, I don't want to be a ward counselor, either do you, so I'd give these folks a bit of a free passage if they're quirky or a bit shitty. But like, again, with the politicians, these people behind the scenes, I don't want that job. So I'm not going to be too harsh on you. But that guy came across as such a prick. Someone who's this and this,
you know,
and this. He's almost like saying,
since 1995.
I'm of such high caliber, and me leaving right now is really bad for all of you. That's what he's saying.
Do you really think that any DA voter in the whole country is going to think about changing them? And do you think any other party is going to look at this and go, well, I was going to vote for them, but now that Dion George is gone... I honestly didn't know who the psych was.
None of these people would exist if it wasn't for news agencies, because they're desperate to highlight this kind of stuff, and it's sad.
It's not the first time, says Therence Cameron, that the DA fires one of its own. The DA is ANC light. Look, yes, all these parties are really cuck, but you got to choose your cuck, you know? You could be...
Choose your cuck and kiss your cunt.
So we've got BBB and choose your cuck and kiss your cunt. We've got two really useful acronyms and moral lessons from this morning. And we're not even at 7 o'clock yet. This is great.
This isn't for sissies.
What a way to start the day. Just going to the comments, Trump banned windmills, says Christian Buerta. Yeah, well, again, terrible thing.
Shocker. Trump gets something right.
The windmills are very bad for the environment. The blades are fiberglass. And they have to be replaced every 5 years or so. How could that be sustainable? These are the ones who always tell us that sustainability is the most. There are whole departments and companies that don't have anything to do with the climate or conservation or nature or the environment. Companies here in Johannesburg that have a person who does sustainability. They've got an office and everything, and they sit there with their pen going, I hope someone comes into my office today. No one's fucking spoken to me at this place for the last 6 months. Sustainability. But these
days
are the people.
Since using paper. Zero.
These are the people who tell you we need more windmills for generating green energy from the wind. And they don't tell you that they're going to replace these things every 5 years. That's ridiculous.
So it's all the small things that add up, right? So my parents live in a very small town in the Cape, and these windmills are all over there. And they get transported there.
Oh, they've got them as well.
My dad and I actually sat at an intersection once and saw this thing come through. And so it's the big abnormal load, and they've got to do this big turn. Traffic comes to a standstill. And because they bring these things through quite often, what they've now had to do is they've had to cut away a piece of land on the curb because they need an extra 10 meters for this windmill to come around. So this beautiful intersection with vineyards and rolling hills now has this gash in it.
For the windmill.
So unsightly, this massive gash, which just looks like they've cleared unnecessarily. Like, the hillside's now gashed. Just
like an axe wound.
Yeah. It looks like a gaping axe wound. And it's all these little tiny things that just piss me off about this kind of stuff. Because there is no greater good. It's just all the shit.
It's like banking. There's Carl DeSantos in the comments. It's like banking or cell phone service. They're all shit. You just have to pick the least cuck one.
I didn't love my insurance, but I made a choice.
Yeah, nobody loves their insurance. Yeah. No one goes.
Medical aid.
Well, you know, this is another thing. You see these ads, and my God, I mean, isn't every ad right now
insurance
or
insurance
betting, gambling, online gambling, and there are a couple of car ads still. Those are the only three things I see advertised on the rare occasion that I have watched TV over the holidays. Not a lot of it, so I'm not an expert. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's all insurance, all online gambling, and cars. Mm. That's it. There's no one else doing TV ads anymore. And they're so cuck. The ads are so cuck. Do you remember when advertising used to be exciting and creative and funny? Do you know which one I saw? It came up on my feed this week. Is the one for, I think it was Spur, with the chick who's sitting in the big tits. And
she goes, can't find her chips.
Where's my chips?
Yeah.
And then the waitress goes, they're there. And she goes, no, they're not. And she turns the plate, and then
her tits had been blocking the chips.
Oh, Nando's ad, wasn't it?
Whoever it was.
I think that's a bit racy for Spur.
Whoever it was, well done. Spur. One of the ads that made people laugh. No one's making anyone laugh anymore. It's all
you see, you had to make, because there were commercial ads. and gaps between shows that people were watching. You had to make them sit and watch, so you had to be entertaining. There was the, now no one's watching them, so what's the point? In fact, there's been such a great surge in outdoor advertising, DOOH, so digital out-of-home advertising.
Don't get all technical with us here.
She's always got to flex that she's got a real job on her, Sam. Every time with Leanne.
Your billboards and things, and those are becoming big again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen some clever TV ones. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just because TV's dying. Mm. Okay, let's get to Dr. Hanan. Our first appointment with the psychologist for 2026.
Finally, some sense.
Finally, out of all the nonsense that's been spewing from us all morning, it's time to check in with someone who actually knows something. So how's your 2026 begun, Dr. Hanan?
Yeah, it's been a great start.
Excellent. All right. A lot of people have a major problem getting into gear in January. I'm sure you've got clients and patients who've come to you already and said, "Oh, Dr. Hanan, I had such a busy holiday. I haven't been able to relax. I need a holiday after my holiday."
Can't seem to get going.
Yeah, and even though they had like a month. I mean, kids only went back to school yesterday.
Wow.
And my little nephews, these two little shits, they went, school finished somewhere in the beginning of December. They've had a month off. You know, maybe the parents need a break after all of that. But how do you get back into it? Is there such a thing in your mind as a valid January hangover excuse?
So the massive misconception is that you can literally have it's like the analogy of driving a broken car and leaving that car for a month and then coming back to the car and assuming that leaving it would fix the broken car that you left. You're coming back to real life. Your holiday is a holiday. It's a wonderful break from reality. But at the end of the day, you come back to your normal routine and your normal people and your normal structure in the day and your normal framework. And it's a framework that ultimately will decide and dictate whether you're able to fulfill whatever your promises were. We know from research that the New Year resolution, the first week, the adherence is over 80%. But 3 months later, everybody falls off the bandwagon and nobody keeps to it. And the reason why you don't keep to it is because promises built on an empty foundation can never be kept. If you don't have a framework that ultimately drives that promise or that commitment, it will never be fulfilled. So getting back into real life, learn how to build solid foundation, solid structure, solid routine, solid blueprints and frameworks that drives that promise. Ask yourself, is there anything that I need to improve from last year, from relationships to maybe even be more selfish, to increasing your time and the quality of your time with the people in your life, with your family, your friends? How about your health? Are you happy with the way your health went in 2025? Whatever you need to improve, go. Don't promise yourself to do better, but create a framework that ultimately drives you doing better.
All right. So when it comes to lining up those priorities, everybody's list is different. So you said health, it could be to do with could be your career is just not going in the direction you want it, maybe the speed that you want. What about people who have no idea where to start? They look at all these things, they go, everything's a mess. And let's face it, there are people whose whole life is a mess. Where do you suggest people like that begin to apply themselves? Because
and not only that, it's like, okay, so you're saying we need a blueprint and a framework. Who's it up to? I know it's
ChatGPT, obviously.
Yeah. Do we use ChatGPT? Is there a certain expert you can go to who will do this
GPT
for you? Or do we need to do it
ourselves? ChatGPT, please solve my life.
Write a blueprint for my life.
I'm using ChatGPT now to get a question.
What do you say, Doc?
So, the three categories that you want to look at in life is relationships, your career, sense of purpose, or health. And out of those three, if all of them are not going well, you always, always start with health, because your health is the engine that drives everything. If you're unhealthy, you cannot have good relationships. If you're unhealthy, you can't have a great career. If you're unhealthy, you can't build financial security. Everything else does not matter if health is not in place. So yes, we can work on all three, but we always start with health. And creating a framework, if you do not know what a framework is or how to build a blueprint, then lean on an expert that will help you do it. But don't lie on the excuse of I need a framework or a perfect blueprint before I start.
Mm-hmm.
Start. Life is all about starting, getting data, tweaking your next move based on that information. Life is not an intellectual pursuit of a goal. Life is an experiential pursuit of a goal. Go and learn through the doing. You don't have to have it figured out 100% before you start. Just start somewhere, learn from the feedback, and make the next move better. So don't make the assumption, or don't have the assumption, or don't live by the assumption that you have to have it perfect before you start. It's like getting on a bicycle. How do we teach kids? We don't actually tell them, listen, you've got to be perfect before you get on the bicycle. No, we're going to get on the bicycle. We're going to fall. We're going to tweak that. We're going to fall. We're going to tweak that, fall. And eventually we get it right. Like any skill on planet Earth, just go for it. Try it. Learn from the feedback. And Leanne, if you don't know how to even start creating the blueprint, then lean on an expert. And if you can't lean on an expert, ChatGPT is a good example or a good form of feedback or a good starting point, but just start somewhere.
So true. Like you don't have lessons before you get on a bike. You don't sit down and go on a week's course about how to ride a bike without getting on the bike.
Oh, no. I think that children should write an aerodynamics higher grade examination before
they get on the bike.
Doc, there's a lot of people do resolutions. They maybe put together lists of things they want to achieve in the year. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it's a good idea that people line up their priorities? I mean, it's obviously a work in progress through the whole year. So you can't just do this in January, but I think a lot of people rely on a fresh start, a clean slate. This is an opportunity to put things into place. The problem with that, the second part of my question after whether or not you do these resolutions and you think it's a good idea, second part of it is how do you discipline yourself to keep going at it? Because I went to the gym last week and it was absolute hell. There were all these fat people everywhere, just taking up all the space. There was no way I couldn't even take free weights and stand somewhere for all the fat people who were sweating and swearing and cursing.
But you're the one who's probably tried to motivate
people. Please don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled that they're in there.
Okay.
I'm just thrilled. I just don't want them to be there when I'm there. Okay? But also I'm confident that by next week they will have all stopped going. Because they don't have the discipline, the thing we were talking about with Mike Bullace earlier. There's no discipline. How do you discipline yourself to keep doing it if you do like the resolution thing?
So two things. Number one, there's a big difference between goals and strategies. So the resolution, people say, I want to lose weight, or I want to be in a better shape, or I want to have good relationships. Those are great goals. But strategies are different to goals. Strategies is what are you going to do in order to get there? And your strategy is going to be so nuanced that you have no excuse to do it. So I want to lose 2 kilograms, or I want to have better relationships. That's fine. But what are you going to do about it? And try and make the strategy so finely defined that you have no reason not to do it. So if you can't go to the gym 3 times a week, then go once a week. If you can't go once a week, then go for a 10-minute walk. If you can't do a 10-minute walk, start with 10 push-ups every morning. If you can't do that, start with 1 push-up. There's always something that you can start with, and the 1 push-up becomes a 2 push-up, becomes a 5 push-up, becomes a 10 push-up, becomes a 15-minute walk, et cetera, until you're able to go to gym 3 times a week. But don't wait for the perfect strategy in order to do. Just start somewhere and start small. And in terms of discipline is not the I want to do it, because nobody wants to go to the gym every single day. Nobody wants to work hard at their relationships every single day. Nobody wants to go to work and is happy to wake up at X amount or X time in the morning every single day. But we do it because we have to. Discipline is the doing irrespective of how you feel. How many times on the show have we said feelings are pathological lies?
Yes.
Don't rely on your feelings to get you to do. Rely on the framework to force you to do. And people will say, but shouldn't I want to? Yeah, the wanting to is not up to you.
The wanting will come up the moment you achieve results. So the moment you see, you get on the scale and you say, oh my gosh, I've lost 1 kilogram. Now I want to do more. The moment you see your marriage improving, oh my gosh, now I want to do more. The moment you're earning more, imagine you earned 20% more, 30% more in the next 6 months. Okay, now I want to do more. The wanting comes with the results, but until then, push yourself to force yourself to do it until you tap into the results, and the results will increase the motivation.
Love it. Mm. All right, Dr. Hanan, we'll take you off the hook for the rest of the day. And I know you are busy sorting out other people who have much more serious problems than Leanne. Not necessarily me, but Leanne.
Yeah, because of me.
Good luck for the rest of the year. We'll check in with you in a week's time.
Thanks, you too, guys. See you then. Bye.
Thank you. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, and you can catch him every week here on the show. We check in with him because we're insane and we need a doctor to keep us, less. So he tries.
Like less like a chimp throwing their feces.
Yes, exactly. All right. So getting ready for work this morning and you don't know what to wear. I found the best Get Ready With Me video of all time. And this will also motivate you.
Get ready with me while I tell you.
I feel like we're about to see a Down syndrome video.
Get ready with me. G-R-W-M.
There's a vehicle. G-R-W-R. And every time I see it, I'm like, get ready with me.
Is that what you think?
Yes.
It's a Haval. It's like a Chinese car. It's G-R-W-M.
Okay, so here it is. Here's your G-R-M-V-W whatever thing you need to know.
Makeup super super fast, and I'm just, this is how fast your girl can do her makeup. Oh, it's actually not that bad. I think we cleaned up nice, simple, cute, love it.
Oh, come on. So aren't you so glad she put in the effort, Gareth?
So we're gonna play the game, is this AI or not?
No, I actually remember that video, and it's quite a few years old. It's older than AI, yeah.
The
voice is up, but the face is down.
Oh, so if you closed your eyes, you'd think hot chick.
No, I wouldn't say hot
she's
chick.
She's got male pattern baldness, which is throwing you off.
Is that all?
That's all. Everything else is perfect.
Please. I couldn't tell a thing. There was no difference after she put the makeup
on. Progress, not for perfection. And did she progress in that video?
Absolutely.
Hey, if you need a reason to feel good about yourself this morning, then there it is. I always try to motivate people. You know me, bigger motivation. Yeah, under the tree, 26. Let's go get it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Try new tricks.
So apparently, according to... one of our favorite commenters, Carl DeSantos, he says, I have a secret tip I will share.
I've got a secret tit, but I haven't told anyone about that.
Where's your secret tit?
I don't know.
Secret tit. You have a third one.
No, that was the leg. I only had a third leg.
Jesus, you're a mess. he says, secret tip I'll share. When I don't feel like gym or I want to eat something unhealthy, I pinch my love handle and I'm immediately repulsed. And then the discipline sets in. See?
Do you alternate, Carl? One left, one right.
Probably.
Always the same one.
Pinch, pinchy, pinch. All right, so...
how do you get through the hair, though, to make the pinch? That's the other question.
Being Portuguese, how do you get past the hair? All right, and then I see Jesus Take the Wheel from Tracy Bard. She seems lovely, though, that chick in the clip earlier. Veronica says she looks like she could be Gareth's sister. Thanks. That's delightful. My actual sister will. She'll kill you.
She'll catch you.
Do you have any particular, like, Dr. Hanan? I think he was being sarcastic, but, like, I want to have good relationships, is what he said, right?
Oh, do we have any goals?
Is anyone you want to, like, have a good relationship with this year?
I do not want to have a relationship with anyone, thank you.
Are you becoming more hermity?
No, I just don't. If we're talking
I'm not saying romantic. You've dried up like a prune. You don't. Nothing works anymore. It's all like cobwebs and dust.
You know what? The fewer people that are actually alive in my life, the better I'm doing. so because I'm able to focus more on relationships with fewer people. It's so much easier.
I think we were talking also about just having good relationships in general. Like, I try very hard not to hate anybody, right? Even people who are constantly giving you shit and who make your life measurably worse. I don't hate anybody because then you're putting negative energy out into the world. It's taking up space in your head. You're thinking about them. I don't do that. I don't want anyone to suffer. There's no one in the world I want to suffer. I genuinely feel that way. But I think there are some relationships I could improve. There are some people I could spend a little more time thinking about, talking to, you know, checking in on, that kind of thing. I think that's probably healthy. And the number is small, but they're people who are worth it.
That's very true. And life's unfortunately cruel in that it teaches you once somebody has passed away how much you miss just asking, you know, a random question or having that person to phone when you need to make a decision about something.
I think that's why we have birthdays. We should actually
check in on people.
We should really like use birthdays as a better thing because when people die, it's like when artists die, you go, oh, I love that music. But maybe everyone should just really broadcast their birthdays out there. Like, today's the day you can celebrate me.
Mm.
And you choose to, if you do or you don't. Like, Spotify should have a thing saying, it's this person's birthday today. This is their music. Like it now before they die. Maybe we can work on the slogan.
The slogan needs to work.
But that sounds a bit rough.
This is why birthdays are so actually important. They really are. So you can't constantly think, like, no one's got the time to go through their phone book and go, oh, I wonder how that person's doing. Oh, I haven't hit birthdays. Get the birthday right. If you care about someone's birthday, you care about the person.
I've also zeroed in on something which could be handy for people who are trying to work out who you should put your energy into this year. I have decided. People who make me laugh. People who make me laugh. Like laughing. The people who you laugh with are the best people. If someone is amusing and humorous, that's the best person. It's effortless. You don't feel tired. You feel exuberant after you've been with them. The people who are genuinely funny and say funny things, that those are the best. I was watching a Bill Burr clip this week. And he also has a tendency to sometimes get a bit political, but he was being very, very funny about how fat people discovered these horrendous combinations between things. He said, when I was a kid, you'd get a candy bar, chocolate, and you'd get ice cream. But they never put them together. And he said some fat person discovered that back in the day, and they never got the credit for it because the company stole the idea and then served it to other fat people. And he said this friend of his who he was staying with when he was a student was a big fat roommate, and he said during the day they eat normally, like normal people. You don't see them eating. But then he says after 12 o'clock at night, all your questions are answered. He said he walked down the stairs one night because he was just too curious. He just heard rummaging. He thought there must be a raccoon in the kitchen or something. And he saw his fat roommate who was eating ice cream straight out of the bowl and rummaging in the fridge and all of this stuff. And he said it was horrific. He said he'd rather have walked in on a murder scene. I mean, by the end of this clip, I was laughing so much. He said this friend asked him the one day, because he mentioned that he had a tub of ice cream, and he said, you know, I just bought a liter of ice cream. And
it would have been 5 liters, but you'll carry on.
Whatever. He said, the friend said, I quite like ice cream, but, you know, he was pretending not to like it as much as he did. He said, have you ever, this is the fat friend, ever left it out for like an hour or two so it becomes liquid and just chugged it back? And your face is exactly the face, like, right? No, I've never done that, said Bill Burr.
Straight to the blood.
This is the kind of thing. He said, they just don't eat like the rest of us.
You know, where I told you I went to Paternoster over the holidays. And in this tiny little village is this little ice cream shop, which has amazing ice cream. But it was so windy this day. We had my mom in her wheelchair. We had my aunt with her walking stick.
Oh, my God.
We all got these ice creams in a little cup. It was so windy and the ice cream was melting fast that there was ice cream literally flying out of these cups all over. I was shouting at my mom going, drink it like a milkshake, because it was melting on the outside. My hair was stuck to my face and I had pistachio nuts all over. She emerged eventually once she'd like managed to get it under control, and it looked like she'd been through the war. And I thought, is it just my family? My aunt was falling over her crutches. And I thought, is it just my family? But there came a woman who decided to order hers in a cone.
Oh, bad idea.
And it had blown onto her T-shirt. Yeah. She had it strung between her fingers.
Yeah.
And we all ended up in the bathroom afterwards, like washing ourselves from glugging this liquid ice cream.
When you buy it, they just kick you out straight away. Do they not allow you to enjoy the indoors?
It's like a vendor. You can't even go in.
You know, I hear stories from your life, and I think maybe she enjoys punishing herself.
No, the punishment comes whether I enjoy it or not.
Oh, Carl's got an answer about his Portuguese body hair. Oh, do you want to hear it?
Yeah, always.
He says, since you guys must know, I do wax my chest and arms. Wow. He says, I've never – wait a second.
You've got to wax that shit?
I've never had back hair, thank God. It skips a generation in his family.
Is he really Portuguese?
I do have big feet for a very short man. I'm basically a hobbit. It's a revolting description.
Fuckers must know.
Yeah, I mean.
So, James at thereal-network.com. Let's see some pictures, Carl.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, show. I don't need to see.
No, you do.
No, Gareth, I think I'll be all right.
You show us so much shit that gives us nightmares, and you're not taking Carl DeSantos. You can have that.
Veronica, defending Carl, says in the comments, chest hair is manly. I don't understand why men get rid of their chest hair. Back hair, I understand.
No, but there's chest hair and there's chest forests, Veronica. I mean, if Carl is going to be of the latter type.
If my fingers are going to get caught, like the diamonds you've given me,
yeah,
as I put my fingers through your chest hair, then it's not good.
It's too much. Yeah? Everyone loves that. How you tell, Leanne can tell by how the diamonds that
how
you've
the diamonds
given me
catch on the hair.
If they get stuck, it's too much. If he's buying you that many diamonds, find a way.
Yeah, but Veronica, everyone loves a lawn, but nobody loves a murder thicket.
Yeah, that is probably quite true. I also think that the same applies, you know, to women, where no one wants to have their hand get stuck.
Their bushkin.
Correct. You don't want that.
I thought
of that
earlier. I thought bushkin's quite a cute pet name for it.
Almost like a, you know, those scouring pads that you buy for the dishwasher.
Goldilocks.
Yeah. Imagine you put your hand there and just gets like stuck. That would be terrifying. All right, you don't need pictures, says Carl. Enjoy your weekend. There's no need for this. I agree.
Just walk away. That's
fair. Well, at some stage, I mean, we do so much here. Some stage, you got to step up as well.
Bushveld Butt, who's different to Bushveld Butt's different to Bitcoin Butt, new person in the comments. I can literally hear Tarzan swinging from the trees when I take off my shirt. Good for you, dude. Very manly. Very manly. I'm with Veronica on this one. You must be proud of that. Hey, I mean, I don't care what you do.
How weird is it, though, that we don't say my underarm hair is very womanly? It's just weird.
No.
It's one of those weird things.
No, good.
The Germans like that. The German women don't mind a bit of armpit hair. Hmm. I found a German word for us for this morning. Would you like to learn a German word?
Is it Gorge Katzenklappe?
No. And it's not Backpfeifengesicht, which we knew is like a face that needs a clap.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
This is a quite useful one. For anyone who really just doesn't look great, put on the word and we'll all learn to pronounce it together. It's a thoroughly unpleasant person, someone regarded with strong contempt. Basically, the translation is Arschtoad, and you pronounce it Arschkröte.
Arschkröte. Arschtoad.
Arschkröte. It's
actually one of the softer German words.
It is. It's a nice word.
Arschkröte.
So if someone is a thoroughly unpleasant person that you can regard with strong contempt, just go, I have to go and have a meeting with that Arschkröte this week. Right? Nice one. It's a bit much so early on a Friday, says Dylan. I don't know what you mean, Dylan.
All of it?
A lot of the stuff we've done this morning has been hugely educational. There's been a bit of psychology with Dr. Hanan. We've talked about the first day back at school for most kids and discipline. We've talked about Gen Z quite a lot. Like, which part was too much for you this morning? Just so we know for future, we don't want to upset you first thing on a Friday. We can avoid it. It's your trigger thing. Just drop a hint for us in the comments so that we know what to avoid.
I think it was calls back here.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. That did take up quite a lot of time. So there's a guy in America who admitted on a podcast that he spent $500,000 on whores, and he has some rationale for this.
One year?
And I don't know if it's in a year. He reckons he's saved millions and made millions. That doesn't make sense to you maybe, but he'll explain.
In my life, I've literally spent over $500,000 on hookers. Best investment ever, because you know what that ROI means. You're laughing because it's like, oh, it's funny, but you're like, wow, that makes an incredible amount of sense. And that's why it's like kind of comedic and says, but I've thought about these things. And as far as my investment, $500,000 on hookers, I've made millions with that, those days saved where I don't have to entertain the bull. I don't have to, you know, like, let's go to a movie and this and that.
So,
sure, that intelligence has got me hot for him.
Do you think he's stupid?
Yes.
Okay, but he makes a point
about... He can barely string a sentence together.
Hey.
I don't even know what his point was.
He says... Okay, I'll translate. He says that women take up a lot of time with all the conversation and the getting to know you and the having to do dates and meals and ask how your day was. And he reckons he saves all of that time which he's put into his business... And instead, he just spends, he says in his life, $500,000 on whores. Because
he's equating, he thinks a relationship means
sex. He doesn't want a relationship. He doesn't want a relationship. Like, much like you, I'm going to quote you earlier.
The less people I have in my life, the better.
That's what you said. Are they all dead? If they're dead, they're not a problem. That's what you said just a little while ago.
Are getting good, right?
And I mean, that's how you sound. So I'm just going to quote you back at you and say, you and he are not that far apart on the scale of like needing other people.
Okay, maybe. Right? Maybe.
I'm just thinking it's kind of similar.
It is. It's a bit of a false economy. Look, if you're a psycho or a narcissist, sometimes you shouldn't be in a relationship because you will just taint and poison the well for someone else.
Yes.
Then hookers are great. We've been very pro-hooker on the show for a very long time now. Since we got rid of C.S. and Gwenny Finn, who was very anti-hookers,
yes.
I think we've had a very mature stance on sex workers. Mm-hmm. So if he is that kind of person, he's actually doing not only himself a favor, doing society a favor. But if he has aspirations of being an actual human being, he is poisoning himself to the fucking nth degree because now he sees intimacy as transactional.
Yes.
So he's fucked for later life, but like fucked.
Yeah,
he's going to eventually probably kill himself and he's fucked. So there's two sides to that coin.
Well, I would just throw in the caveat. I'm arguing devil's advocate here. I'm certainly not. These are not my points of view on how relationships should happen or intimacy should happen or transactional arrangements should occur. But he needs to make a lot of money. He needs to make millions and millions if he's going to continue to live that kind of life. Because it is possible that in his 80s, he'll be one of those sad guys under a blanket.
Well, his chain's going to get bigger and bigger every year.
With a hot woman pushing him around in the wheelchair. He's going to need a lot of money for that, though. Because as you get older, you need to pay the whores a lot more.
You have to all the time, yeah.
And you need to get new, fresh whores because the old ones will get tired of you very quickly. You know, being able to get hard, the farting, the ear hair.
The dribbly bum.
Like, there's no woman in the world who goes, that's what I want. No woman. That's and if she says so, the price tag is substantial. So he's going to make a ton of money to keep up that kind of meaningless shit that he's doing now. That's the only way.
And also, it's diminishing returns of actual investment because when he's young and he's like energetic and stuff, the whores will play up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
When he gets a little bit older and more cynical and understands that they do not give a fuck about him, then the return is almost more empty.
Again, our audience very big on whores as well. I see Lindsay saying, makes sense, he's paying for what he needs. Veronica back with, I'm still waiting for you to interview a Mahosha, James. I mean, Flex, would you be able to find a Mahosha quicker than James?
Keep it on James. It's his job. Flex is doing enough here.
good point. See, Ben, I got a bit soft there. That's not a good idea. Yes. You've got to punish and discipline. That's what we've learned this morning.
This isn't Flex's problem.
Yes, says Barely Vocal Radio. Where are the machoshas? See?
Remind me what they are again.
Whores.
Oh, machosha. Okay.
Leanne, Ben just said we're very pro sex workers on this show, but clearly you don't even know that basic terminology. All right, we got to get into some sport.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot.
Well,
you went to, where were you this week? I saw it on your Instagram. You did your show here on Wednesday.
But can you just not remember?
Did you go to some stadium or some sports event or something this week?
No, last weekend we went pretty hard.
You were at the cricket.
So Sandile and I had all access to the Wanderers Stadium. So, you know, we're trying to do more aspects of the Bounce Show now where we are away, out and about. We're in places doing sports things rather than just
studio. Did you irritate people?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I get caught up in my own whirlwind of happiness, and I'm sorry that if you're not part of that, but no, I don't think so. Maybe.
Leanne, we're going to do this professionally because the joke of people getting up and walking right across camera is getting old.
Oh, yes.
So what we do now is we put the camera on Ben, you just fuck off. You just go. And then people go, what happened to Leanne? Right. And we go, what? She's not here anymore? That's how we're going to handle
it. Okay, so you're going the creepy she disappeared route.
Yeah, like you just got sucked into the chair.
Yeah, but
wait till the camera's not on you. And don't let it be on me, otherwise you walk in front of me. Watch. I'll tell you when, Leanne, because you're
very confused now.
Clearly it's been a long time.
Now's your time.
Oh, that is so bad.
So discreet.
No. All right, Ben, as you were saying, you were at...
But, yeah, there was a lot less creak in the knees when you did that. Yeah, that's a small,
she's,
small
no, 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 she's feeling better about herself. And I did get a comment, Leanne, from Tracy, I think, earlier, saying you're looking great. So well done on that front. Nice. There we go. She says, nice.
She didn't even groan when she got up. This is what we're going to do.
No groaning. Yeah. No, she's getting herself ready for 2026.
So last Saturday we had a chance to be on the field. So taking the pregame of an SA20 match.
All access.
All access. And, you know, like we've been gushing about this tournament for good reason. Like it's just fun. Like there's real cricket fans again. All the sports have got massive fans. And cricket went through this stage where they just didn't have cricket fans. Like we'd watch games and we'd care about tournaments, that kind of stuff. Mm. But people are proper fans now. So they get there early and the vibe is so fun. Like it's just a happy thing. And like I love the Wanderers. It's probably my favorite sports stadium in the whole country. I know Box Saturdays with four double brandy and Cokes in you. Every stadium feels like whatever Michael Jackson was trying to do with Neverland. But the Wanderers is a physically beautiful stadium. You've got the golf course behind it with the big trees.
Beautiful.
The stadium's lovely, the grass bank, and there's such a vibe. So, yeah, we were there last Saturday, and then we made a video for this week's show of just showing what we got up to. It was great. I love the fact that at 44, pretty well-traveled, very cynical and hardened, I can be that happy. About just doing something.
That's terrific.
It's just a great reminder how fucking awesome this is. And yeah, I'm excited about it.
All right. So this week we've got quite a few things to kick off with. I know that you wanted to talk principally about the Premier League, rugby.
Yeah, there is that. Of course, just your reminder, it's 21 days until the Winter Olympics is coming up.
Now, that I am excited about. Yeah. You got me thinking about it last week. A lot of the people in the comment section also very excited about the various athletic pursuits that people can do when it's cold.
All these strange and wonderful things. And another great thing is that Summer Olympic Games are often political events as well. They're at these big cities. There's all this other bullshit. Winter Olympics is almost like under the radar for just being what it is. And that's the great thing about it. It's like it's in the hills of Milan and Cortina and all those places.
Yeah, but there aren't any poor people involved.
And there's no poor people involved. Well,
and wherever you don't have poor people, I learned this, God bless you, Saint-Tropez. I went there. I've been there once in my life. They chase the poor people out with sticks.
But they don't even have to at these
places. It's just wonderful. Everything's too expensive. There are no homeless people. Drug addicts, shouty people.
Wherever there's snow, there's just less poor people, basically, because it's cold.
Right.
And they don't have a lot of clothing.
This this attack on the poor is brought to you by our new sponsor this morning.
Yeah, look, the Winter Olympics is so niche. And I'm all for inclusivity for greater goods, actual greater goods. Like I said to you about the SA20, it's like this is the one tournament every South African comes together because you don't have to really love cricket that much. It's just such a jewel. And it's a crowd like no other. So when you tell me about inclusivity, I think that's really, really fun. The Winter Olympics is not that. It's exclusive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in order to have something exclusive, you're doing something very special.
Right.
And I'm for that. So you can love all these things. Two things can be right at the same time. But just quickly touching on rugby before we get into other sports that are a bit more interesting at the moment. I think we need to try and turn the Bulls off and on again because they are so
like
shit.
Reboot them.
They are so terrible. They got hammered last week at home. I mean, I know a fair amount about sport, but I've already forgotten who they lost to. Some English.
That's shocking.
Oaks with pale skin rocked up in the summer heat of Pretoria. And they thrashed the Bulls. The Bulls let in about 60 points. It's embarrassing.
What's happened?
I don't know. Like I said last week, I think the team's even got stronger. I don't know if they don't like tackling. I know it's a new coach, but it can't just be the fact that he's now completely useless. This is a professional man who's very accomplished and got the job on merit. It's weird, Gareth. It's really weird. Like the Springboks assistant coaching staff got involved with them to try help them.
They're throwing everything at it, and it's not getting better.
These guys, and all they do on game day is just shit the bed.
Oh man,
it's really, really frustrating. So
it's horrific.
Tonight, it's not going to be any prettier because now they're in Po, in France.
Mm.
Although Flip van der Merwe will always attack me for my French pronunciations.
How do you spell that, Ben?
P-A-U? Po? Pau?
Po.
Po?
Po.
Look, they're in France. They're going to get beaten. Let's not fuck around. Okay. So that'll be tonight at 10 o'clock.
No one wants to watch that.
No, they're on tour. It's obviously like they've got to try and make some replacements come through. Not the strongest team. But then again, the strongest team. And these are Oaks that are doing wonders for the box, right? They're getting fucking trousered in the Bulls, though. Tomorrow will be slightly more interesting, although somewhat inevitable as well. Sharks are away to Clermont, and they will lose at 3 o'clock because, let's be honest, the Sharks also aren't out of the woods yet. They got hammered last week. Well, they didn't get hammered last week. A weakened side did quite well against the Sale Sharks. In the Battle of the Sharks, they didn't have the best team, but they played. It was a very spirited match, actually, so I'll give them credit with that. And then the Stormers. Somehow they took 60 points on the road last week to Harlequins. Harlequins are not a great team. And the Stormers just got it so wrong on the day. Bizarre. But they'll be at home playing Leicester 5:15 Saturday at Cape Town. That's the big game to watch for this weekend. Rugby-wise, that's the one to care about because they actually have a chance of winning. So on the SA20 cricket, we're now at the crunch time, right? Next week is the playoff extravaganza. So, James, what am I just popping up the log there?
Yes.
So, two teams have already qualified. That is the Paarl Royals and the Eastern Cape Sunrisers. Sunrisers Eastern Cape. Now, they've been pretty solid. The interesting thing about this season is that no team has really dominated firstly at home or secondly on the log. So, it's been like very, very competitive. MI Cape Town have done terribly. They got hammered by the Pretoria Capitals recently as well. So, they're pretty much out of it. Mathematically, they can win their last two games with a bonus point and put their cat amongst everyone else's pigeons, but don't look for it. The big game here is going to be Saturday, right? So today, MI Cape Town are going to take on the Sunrisers at Eastern Cape, and that'll be at Newlands Friday. Lovely day to be in Cape Town, Hoppers 5. Cool. So Sunrisers, I'm guessing, going to win that one, and then they'll be in the sort of top two spots. Tomorrow, DSG, which is the Durban team, obviously, now they have to win as well and really hope that the JSK do terribly. They'll take on the Royals tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Durban. And then the big game, which I'm going to be at, I'm very excited about this, will be JSK versus the Capitals. It is the Transjukske Derby.
Oh, right.
And a big one, yeah, because the Capitals, James, one more time on the log there. So the Capitals thrust themselves up towards the business end of it this last week with a couple of good results. Uh-huh. But now they're in third, okay? So they're on 20 points, and they played one more game than JSK. You get 4 points for a win, 5 points you get the bonus point. So as you can see there, mathematically, they're kind of essentially through. Because DSG can get to they can get to 19 points at best, and they hope that JSK, like I said, shits the bed. So that is the dynamic for this weekend. Some of the games are kind of ineffectual to the result here for the qualifiers, but the big game, that Saturday game, JSK has to win that one. They have to. And I reckon they should. I mean, the Capitals' middle order and general batting hasn't been too great. They rely so much on that Rutherford guy. Brevis really hasn't stepped up, and the rest of them a bit too chancy. But Charles, you know, all the way through the weekend, so Sunday, Sunrisers will take on MI Cape Town in a return game in Gqeberha. And then Monday, the final game of regulation play will be the Royals versus JSK at 5:30 in Paarl. So how it works from here is that next week we go into the qualifying, the playoffs. So the top two teams play each other, playoff number one. That'll be at Kingsmead on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, the third and fourth team will take on each other at Centurion. And then the winner of that and the loser of the first game then play the eliminator match on Friday at the Wanderers Stadium. And then basically the winner of the first game, the last, they go to Sunday at Newlands.
You rattled that off because you have been paying attention.
Yes.
Ben can always be relied upon to tell us
take questions
what time,
after the
when,
fact.
Who, which team. You need to know all this stuff.
So, guys, this month of absolute all action is going to come to an end next Sunday. And next Sunday live, Sandile and I will be there at the ground. And we're going to do another episode of On the Bounce Show. Our whole team's going. It's going to be a real big extravaganza.
Are you taking the whole lot of them?
Everyone's there.
Okay. Very exciting.
Yeah, guys. Sounds good. Yeah, Betway says 20 has been a thing. There's only been 9 people that have caught the ball in the crowd. So how it works is that obviously there's the 2 million rand at stake. However many people catch the ball, they get that divided amongst them. So last year there was 13 people that had the share of the 2 million. So now, so far, there's 9. The catching's been dog shit, to be honest with you. There's been many, many things put down. So, guys, we've got a weekend and a week to go to really catch that ball. We're going to get into football. So, obviously, AFCON's been taking place under the radar with a whole bunch of other good sport right now. I wouldn't say predictably, but, semi-predictably, Morocco will take on Senegal. Okay, so that'll be the final on Sunday, 9 o'clock. Nigeria will take on Egypt in the game that no one cares about, that third and fourth draw.
Right.
That'll be on Saturday, so 9 o'clock Sunday. This week we have the Carabao Cup, which is the English League Cup. So all the English teams in the top division, the Premier League, they play for a cup in conjunction with everything else.
What's it called?
The Carabao Cup. Carabao is a beer.
Sounds horrific.
And they sponsored this thing.
Okay.
So in the semis, that's obviously the best teams. Chelsea, they lost to Arsenal.
Okay.
Arsenal just keep going. They managed to win that one away. Newcastle, they lost to Man City 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool. Oh, no, wait, that's the semis. There's only 4 teams and they're not good enough.
Liverpool not in there.
Okay, so we're looking probably at an Arsenal-Newcastle final when that all just...
Okay.
When the cream cometh to the top on that one. speaking of Premier League, I got this very wrong last week. I do apologize. I get this wrong from time to time. But this weekend, fixtures thick and fast. Man United versus Man City, 2:30. Flex, what do you reckon?
City's gonna win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what's the score? Okay, so there you hear
1-0 prediction.
One of the few
Flex.
Remaining Man United fans is
the only one I know. He's the only one.
Sandile is also huge.
There was a time when you had to fight your way through Man United supporters. Now they're few and far between.
And the thing is, it's like the ones that are left are the smart ones who remember the glory days because the dumb ones don't remember like the good times and they're not smart enough to bring it back in banter. They just go, oh, fuck you, man. Whereas like the really smart guy. So there's this really great dynamic between Liverpool fans and Man United fans, right?
Yeah.
So Liverpool fans will be like, yeah, we're the best modern team, blah, blah, blah. And Man United fans will, we've got more trophies and that. And they can pinpoint that. And the Liverpool fans are like, they're constantly fighting between the old and the new rivalries. But the dumb ones, jeepers, they don't know that.
The dumb ones.
So also Saturday, Chelsea versus Brentford at 5, Liverpool versus Burnley, big game there at 5, and then Nottingham Forest will be hosting Arsenal at 7:30.
Okay.
So that's the crux of your live sport. Aussie Open starts on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the initial stages of these tennis grand slams aren't hugely exciting.
No.
That's pretty much it, eh?
I wanted to ask you something. We didn't mention this, but over December, there was one South African kid, I think he's... what his age is, but a golfer, a guy called Jaden Shaper, who cleaned up. He cleaned up at Sun City, which we remember
talking
about.
So Sun City, he finished second.
Yeah, and he did very well.
He did bloody well.
And
came super close.
And this is like his professional debut, essentially. And then he went off to Mauritius.
No, so...
And he won there as well.
Gareth, I appreciate you trying to go through sport.
I saw it on TV. This is all I know.
Draw the dots. So he's been on tour for like 2-3 years. He looks 14.
Okay.
He literally looks 14.
Right.
But he's been there, thereabouts. He's been putting in the hard graft. He's been doing a lot of travel.
Right.
And it all came to – so, yeah, Nedbank was great for him. And then the next time – next tournament, Alfred Dunhill at Royal Johannesburg.
That's the one.
In with the rain. And he got into a playoff and he hit one of the most impossible shots. I mean, this is my home course. I know this well. He was in a bunker. He clapped like a hybrid out to an impossible pin and made eagle in a playoff to win. And then in Mauritius, same thing. He made an eagle in the playoff to win again.
I saw that.
So those 3 weeks there, I think he made something like 24 million rand.
Fantastic.
But not only that, it's the ranking points that you get for that now propel him into bigger events. And right. You do well in the bigger events, suddenly you get more points. So before you know it, this guy, as you say, has come out from general obscurity. Uh-huh. Golfers will know who he is. But your average
he's
joke,
from the East Rand or something.
But only joke. Yeah. But such a big deal now. Plays a pretty simple game. He's got a level head on his shoulders.
Right.
Doesn't talk a lot, which is great. It was so great to watch him. Such a controlled
clearly
game.
Clearly in amazing form. So I just thought I'd bring that up because I found myself suddenly being really impressed with someone playing golf, which doesn't happen often, Ben.
And the thing about those wins, what made them all the more important is that at the Gary Player Country Club, there's heat, not much wind, very demanding course in mm-hmm. many ways, tiny greens, undulations, a lot of precision needed. At Royal Johannesburg, the course was wet. It was a rainy week, so there's very little carry. Sorry, a very little run. So everything is done on the fly. Doesn't hit the ball the highest, so he's now got to find other ways to score. Then they go to Mauritius, where it's windy as all hell because it's Mauritius. So all three of those aspects require different skill sets.
It's like he was tested on all the different variations.
So basically, the fact that he managed to win all three of those, different terrain altogether. Yeah. I mean, the last course, you're basically playing a links course. And a links course is huge undulations. And to be able to judge distance is even more difficult when you got the wind. So, yeah, incredible achievement.
All right, so that's a look at your sport for this morning. Of course, don't miss On the Bounce. You had Josh Margolis on as well.
It's his biggest cricket treasure, yeah. This week's show was particularly interesting because, like, when you have a guest like Josh, he brings a lot of info, which as a host is phenomenal because I can just sit back and just direct conversation.
And he just loves.
So we went through Betway said 20 and then 6th of Feb is the ICC T20 World Cup, so we go through the entire Proteus squad there. And Josh had some interesting stats about why we should be slightly worried about this team. We're all caught up in the euphoria of this tournament right now, but the SA20 isn't international cricket. It's a very different thing.
Okay, I want to change things up a little bit here because there seems to be a fight brewing in the comments section. Does this intrigue you at all?
Hugely.
Oh, okay.
It's so about Carl. I mean,
apparently, Veronica says it's easy to get someone. She's talking about relationships here. The difficult part is keeping them and thinking that once you're in, you don't have to make effort anymore. Then you're surely mistaken. Hold your thoughts on that one because she continues. Then someone else jumps in called Zolega who says, "Lol, what is your account number, Veronica? I have made my first million at 37 eventually. Am I your guy?" So this is all happening. Then other people are jumping in. She says, just having lots of money won't cut it. So Veronica is not impressed by Zoleka's money.
So they could probably, he's probably swinging a decent sized dick there, Veronica. I'm just going to put it out there. Call me a stereotype.
Add that to it. All right. Then we've got Barely Vocal Radio climbs in and says, "So Veronica, you basically just want to bless her, not bothered about love, emotions, or the deeper stuff."
That's not at all what she's saying.
Yeah, and Zoleka came back with this. The funny part is I didn't even have to work hard for it. I won it on Betway. So he's got a sense of humor too. That should count for something, surely.
I love his 20-year-old profile picture with you in this as well.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds great.
That's not going to help you, Zoleka. So, okay. We've got to talk about Gen Z and drinking. We've brought this up before. I know people are sick of talking about Gen Z, but this is a major, major problem. Pop up that screenshot, James, just to show people what the economic cost here. The alcohol industry has lost over $830 billion in 4 years as Gen Z stops drinking.
You know, it's your responsibility to prop these companies up.
They've
done so much for this world and human cohesion.
What are Gen Z doing if they're not meeting each other and drinking and... you know, it's a bit of social lubrication.
But all the jobs have now been lost because these guys won't drink.
Yeah, you're responsible. Why are you showing an empty chair? Is that you, James, sitting there not drinking?
Yes.
Listen, I have to know what they're doing. because we talk about how South Africans don't know how to have fun unless they're drinking. But there's a middle ground. You don't have to be a like puzza face
universal,
alcoholic. There are people who can have a couple of drinks and have a lot of fun and are a little bit more edgy and kind of creative and hilarious when they've had a drink. What are Gen Z doing? Because they're already sober, they're a pain in the ass. What are they doing to have fun?
So if I were to have a stab at this top of my head, maybe there's a more health conscious movement in life. I get that.
That's okay.
But judging by the fact that there's still many, many fat Gen Zs, this is a tip of the iceberg kind of thing. So let's just say 3% of you are living your best life and having matcha and early nights.
What are the other 97% exactly. doing?
Exactly.
And do they think that we'll be impressed that they're just not drinking? So not doing something is an achievement?
But then are you not drinking because you've got no one to drink with?
That's probably it.
That's another question that obviously...
Yeah, no friends.
Yeah. Because like I never drink at home.
No.
I don't drink it by myself at all.
No.
I only drink if it's around certain people.
But when you are around certain people, you feel it's your duty to keep the alcohol companies in business.
You have to. Yeah. You have to. And also it's very, very selfish to not help find people, other people interesting. Sorry, I worded that terribly. But it's like you can't expect someone to be interesting. You must help them by drinking.
Well, you saw Flex put that comment up from Villy who says you can't trust people who don't drink. Look, South Africans think we're special. We do have a binge drinking problem more than most countries.
Of course you do.
But I do think it's also important to remember that most of your ancestors, the only reason you're alive today is that a great majority of your ancestors were shit-faced 24/7 because you couldn't drink the water and, yeah. you know. The wells were poisoned. The rivers were dirty. You would have got sick.
There's a great chance your parents met and learned to like each other because they were drunk.
Correct.
So if they weren't drunk, you would not have been conceived.
Correct.
Because they were probably chardonnayed up when they eventually pumped.
So, yeah.
So these are all things. It's like sometimes you just – it's not about you.
Yeah, I think grateful.
Gareth, I think this is where we're going. I think sometimes you got to remember it's not about you. Go and buy booze, drink, and mingle. You have to. I mean, I got to remind myself of this sometimes because I go through long periods where I don't drink. I find health fascinating. I really do. But that's not about me. I've got to draw the line in the sand every now and again. I've got to get 8 drafts in me, and I've got to move on with my life.
Carl DeSantos says, we need to find a happy medium somewhere between Thabo Mbeki and Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't drink at all. Teetotaler, Thabo Mbeki, obviously, there's a bit of puzza going on there. Yeah. So somewhere in between is probably right. I think that's very, very good.
And I've been saying it for years. The compromise is day drinking.
That's yeah. It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it's 11 o'clock at night and you're bending your back at the bar for another drink.
That's sad.
Guys, come on.
Never drink alone, says Tracy. She says it gives Bridget Jones vibes. However, in the Cape, we're heading for another drought. Save water, drink wine.
Oh,
again. Very solid advice there.
Yeah. I mean, look, Debbie brings up a good point there, is that now it's like microdosing mushrooms or it's
the drugs. We mustn't forget that drugs are now a big part of that. But obviously, weed is also
but
still
drugs
a thing.
Doesn't create employment, guys. We've got to think big picture here.
Yeah. Drugs just helps the cartels.
No, but like also, mushrooms are making some tonny in the West Rand rich. Like you've got to think bigger here.
That it supplies them.
Most of the time.
Tonny in the West Rand.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I visited a marijuana bar, says Twaksuk, and the vibe there was so cool with the Gen Zs in there. Everybody chilled, no aggression. You walk into a bar, very noisy. Maybe that's a point in their credit.
Fair point. Fair point.
To their credit. Can you imagine no alcohol in the world? How boring would that be? Yeah, I mean, you can go to countries that don't allow alcohol, like Saudi Arabia, for example. I mean, people are miserable. You don't see them walking around smiling broadly, do you?
Guys, with every broad discussion, you can vilify anything, really. And yeah, bars are horrible places. There's aggression. But there's shit people everywhere.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
let that stop you.
Shit people are amplified by all kinds of things. Like just if you, like the other guy who won like $1 million on Betway, sometimes that can make you a shit person because now money amplifies your shitness. It can be suddenly you get in great shape and then your shitness is amplified by how good you look. Let's not vilify alcohol like that? Shit people are shit people before they drink.
I want your thoughts on this, Ben. This is an old 911 call that a kid made, I think for very valid reasons. And I think, I would have been the same. If this was my situation, I would have called in with the same emergency. Take a look at this and tell me if you agree.
The Johannesburg police are nothing if not go ahead.
No, this is something else. No, James, stop. Actually, I'm glad you played the wrong clip. That is hilarious, and it's actually way more interesting. This is a clip from the news in, I think it must have been the 1940s or 50s, about Joburg and the police. Now, you know, Helenzil is running for mayor of Joburg. Joburg's a shithole at the moment.
When does that actually happen?
Sometime this year. They haven't announced the date. Joburg is a disaster at the moment, but things like policing, this is 90—I'm not sure exactly when, but let's say, give it credit, 1950s. Even so, you didn't have phones, you didn't have—well, you had phones, but they had to be connected to a landline. There were no cell phones. How did the police know when there was an emergency? And this was absolutely eye-opening to me. It might be for you as well. But listen to the language and the way the police did their jobs. Obviously, you will see no black people in this because it was before apartheid proper, maybe. I don't know. Again, the 50s probably. But still fascinating to watch. This is Joburg, apparently, and how they sorted out crime.
The Johannesburg police are nothing if not go ahead. And new emergency telephone boxes have been introduced that will make an already efficient force one of the best equipped in the Union. These boxes are connected with police headquarters at Marshall Square.
Hello, hello, Marshall Square.
Yes, Marshall Square.
I've been robbed. My house is at the corner of Hyde Circle.
Wait, the policeman will be there in a few minutes.
Thank you.
The call automatically lights up a police kiosk. Hello, what's going on here? And the light can be seen by at least one bobby on his beat. He knows there's something up and he hurries to the box. And now he's off to investigate. All day and all night, police cars equipped with wireless sets patrol the streets. In case of urgency, the operator at headquarters can get into touch at once.
ZUP calling mobile station number 1, serial number 10, message number 4, robbery, Hyde Circle.
When a police car is called, the driver steps on it and races to the scene of the crime. On the same phones, you can make immediate contact with the fire station and hospital. And before you can say ipecacuanna, if you can, the public services are functioning in top gear. Joburg has been justly styled the slick city of the south.
None of that happens today without efficiency. None of that.
Hello, Marshall Square.
I've been robbed.
It's almost like a parody, but it's so great. The police had kiosks with a little light on the top that would go off, and then the policeman would have to look up message number 4, incident number 3 in Pike Street or whatever they said.
Decent editing there. That would all have taken like 7 hours.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
that Oak was on foot.
Yeah, of course. And he starts walking a little bit faster when he gets the
phone call. Oak was on foot. He was weighed down by 30 kilograms of flannel clothing. He was not doing anything at pace.
So let's be, I hate to say it, but let's just be a little grateful that the Metro Police, you know, don't have to put up with that. Little kiosks and people going, I've been robbed.
I always love those old things because of the soundtracks in the background.
Yeah.
Big trumpety numbers. Fucking for anything.
It's just amazing how people used to make that was a newsreel, right? So they would show them because people didn't have TVs at that point. So you'd go to the cinema, and at the cinema, you'd before the movie, the feature film, you would watch a newsreel or two, and they would tell you all about what was going on. And this one obviously showed in Johannesburg. So that was how policing was at that stage in the city. It's just
pioneers of policing.
Of course, Helen will remember that because she was probably around.
I think Helen, in order to get elected, should reenact that video, like actually remake it. And they should have that exact same music, but then they make everything else modern.
Hi, I'm going to answer this call. Let's see what it is. Hello, I've been robbed. Well, that's your problem. Put down the phone. All right. Police these days say, what do you want? That's according to Slippery Pickle. Yeah, I haven't had to, thank God, call the police for some time, but I don't know what I'd get through to. I don't think it would be, whatever happened, it wouldn't be good. Right? It wouldn't be good. So then we've got people still arguing with Veronica about what she's looking for in a man. It's just Veronica.
But I thought, maybe I misheard it, but I thought Veronica's points were really smart and to the point.
Well, it seems, you know, again, people are saying that she wants to be spoilt. She says, I don't. I can spoil myself. I'm not sure that she's articulated clearly what she is looking for here, but I see Yonda and Diggy in the comments saying, Veronica, what kind of spoiling would get you to give any, and what is any? Again,
very forward question, but let's have it.
You know, it's give and take in any relationship. I'm curious to see how she answers that. Apparently, according to Tracy, they now have kiosks for not just the police, but for potholes, no water, no waste removals, no electricity. Imagine how Johannesburg would be studded with kiosks to report all those things.
Let's remake that video. I want to see it.
I think you're right. Helen reenacting it would be amazing. All right. There's one other thing I want you to see quickly. We often talk about talented people who are content creators. There's this guy in America who's desperate to become famous for his very peculiar talent, and I'll let him explain what it is. He wears a big green bow tie, gone to a lot of trouble. All I want from you, Ben, is a rating out of 10. Okay? Where's the talent guy, James? See, James's talent is not finding the clip in time.
Big green bow tie.
Oh, my God. It's loading into the thing right now, everybody. Stand by. If James was in charge of the mission to
James,
the, James to Mars,
can James you waiting for the light to go off to show them there's been a robbery.
I should have a bunch of lights on here.
And it's like, okay.
I press the lights and then
light
James
means
knows
we
what
must
to
now
do.
Load the clip for the green right, exactly. bow tie man.
Are you ready? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. I apologize, everybody. I know how hard you work to be able to afford the time to be able to join us on a Friday morning, to not be messed around. And then James does this and lets us all down. TikTok, James. And I'm not referring to the app that you're always on. Got it? You said 5 seconds, 15 seconds ago. I wonder if his girlfriend has to put up with this shit. Huh? Yeah.
What, 5 seconds?
Yeah. 5 seconds. Here it is. Go, James.
Hi, I'm Derek Washington. I'm an animal noise expert, and I want to show you my talent here, making animal sounds. I'm really good at imitating them. Growing up, my family and friends told me I was really good. I really want to show the world my talent. I always wanted to be somebody. A bird. Okay, now, butterfly. This is a butterfly, yep. And a cow. Moo. Okay, a bear. Rawr, grizzly bear. Rawr. Eagle. Eagle. And an elephant. And an elephant. Okay, a giraffe. They stick their neck out like this, and they tall, and they go. And here's a gorilla. Uh-huh. A manimus. Ooh, manimus. Ooh. Okay, a horse. Nah, a chicken. Indiana. And a cat. A llama. And a lion. Roar! Roar!
Nailed it. I mean, that
he's
was
so great.
If I closed my eyes, I thought I would be in the wild.
I would. I'd pay him to entertain us at parties. I mean, that guy is. That's a talent, right?
Incredible.
So just good.
Relentless.
Just unbelievable. So you give him 10 out of 10.
I would.
They should bring him on as pre-match entertainment at the. At the Wanderers when you go there next.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. James is a single square of toilet paper. It gives you hope, but you always end up in shit. That's from Carl. Then Therence says, James is quite shit at his job. The guy is on both ends of the autism spectrum. Wow. All right, the comment section alive and well. If you want to join us, then make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. I've got to remind people to do this because otherwise they forget. And tell your friends. Tell your enemies even. You know, if you know, for example, that someone is never going to like any of the things we talk about. Maybe they are like one of those screaming liberal women in Portland, Oregon in America who's just constantly emoting. Everything is emotion. It's all reaction. It's desperate attention seeking. Even those people deserve the opportunity to listen to and watch this show. So tell them, bombard them with messages until they subscribe. We'll be grateful. We'll make them better. We'll reform them.
Have we ever thought of that as an actual growth strategy? It's just isolate the people that would hate us.
Yeah, and go for them.
They'll be the ones watching because then they can get angry. Because those people are mostly only happy when they're angry.
Well, that is pretty much the entire business model of social media is to whip up people's anger. I didn't get to this earlier, so I can get to it now. I saw a lot of amazing stuff being generated before they switched the internet off in Iran, because you know that the government's turned off the internet. So it's now impossible. They haven't even allowed internal phone calls in Iran. So if you're trying to phone your family who live in another town in Iran, you can't get hold of them. The government has actually closed down communication, which, first of all, it's a terrifying thing to imagine that a government can do that. And they're trying to put in things like Starlink and all the rest of it. But, you know, you need a receiver to get satellite internet signal. And there are people who have them, but apparently there are also IRG guards going around smashing those up wherever they find them, arresting people. If you go out onto the street, they now have tanks. They've stopped shooting people. Instead, they've brought the tanks in, like in Tiananmen Square, for example, in China, which was such a controversial thing so many years ago. But Iran is on the precipice of something truly remarkable here. And it's just phenomenal to me, talk about the anger economy, how we had to listen to the likes of Greta Thunberg and Mark Ruffalo and Gary Lineker and all of these lefties who for 2 years, 3 years even, could not shut up about the Middle East, right? They were perpetually in a tirade about Gaza. We had to watch flotillas off the coast of Gaza. We had to hear about women and children being massacred. We had to hear about how everything was – this was the most important story in the world from these people. There is not a peep. There are tumbleweeds rolling through X and Instagram on those people's accounts. They have not said – they have not breathed a word about Iran, a country where – there are people who absolutely deserve our support. Now, I'm not saying that because it's politically convenient to me. I have no link to Iran at all. But you've got these mullahs and these ayatollahs who've been funding terror in places like Lebanon, places like Gaza, places like Yemen, even places like America. They've been involved and the chief financiers of all of that. But that's maybe why you've got the likes of all these left. And by the way, it's not just the left. I've got to throw in here that it appears very suspicious to me that Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, these are people on the right, who are standing up for the Iranian ayatollahs. I'm like, what is wrong? These clearly people, they're on the payroll, right? That's the only possible explanation for this. Why would you not want young women and men in Iran to stand up for themselves for basic freedoms that all of us would like? The ability to express yourself, the ability to wear whatever you want, the ability to eat and drink what you'd like, the ability to not live under a totalitarian, authoritarian regime that has absolutely no regard for your individuality, your personality, your desires, your career dreams, the things that you really want to do. This regime that's been in place since 1979, no interest in this. And I'm not an advocate for this stuff either. I don't believe in protest. But it does bother me that there's such hypocrisy, both on the left and the right, when it comes to Iran. And it makes me very suspicious. It makes me suspicious of all of these people for various reasons. I find it very strange that there isn't nearly the amount of outrage going on. While people, we've seen them being shot. There was footage that came out before they cut off the internet that showed just innocent people in the streets standing arm in arm, protesting quietly, not, you know, trying to fight people with guns, being shot, just cold-blooded killing, massacring of these people. And there are some corners of the internet that just could not be less interested.
So the outrage monkeys, we know they're retards, so we can skip right past them. The thing that I kind of look at, because no one touches on this, maybe for good reason, but what is BRICS doing? If BRICS want to be taken seriously, right?
But again, so Iran are part of BRICS, supposedly.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So now, the whole point of having BRICS is to have solidarity and strength and prosperity and all this kind of bullshit, right? Mm. Which is what they're probably saying.
BRICS doesn't have an army. It's not like NATO.
Gotcha.
Right.
But it's an amalgamation of countries to come together for some sort of good. So if one of your members is now Iran and this is happening, is this not something that one of them would maybe mention, talk about? Because this isn't good for brand BRICS, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know whether BRICS is able to do anything here at all. And certainly from a Russia and Chinese point of view, a lot of the oil that China needs to keep up its growth and to be able to do the kind of manufacturing that they do and to supply the energy needs of the country, China gets a lot of their oil from Iran and a lot of it from Venezuela.
Yeah, tough time.
Latterly. Yep. They would get that from Venezuela, certainly about 3% to 4% from Venezuela. But a huge amount of oil comes straight from Iran. And I think if you want to give credit to the Americans, there could be a little bit of agitation there on their side that has led to what we're seeing in Iran at the moment. But we've seen protests in Iran long before Donald Trump was president. Mm. They've just been put down savagely, and then we don't hear anything for a while. Yeah. There is certainly a political undercurrent in Iran that has come to the fore now, and maybe this is the time when it'll finally be taken seriously. Of course, we had the Fordo reactor blown up last year. Iran were very much put in their place by the Americans and the Israelis. They are susceptible. Their currency is just absolutely cratered. You know that it's something with an R, a real or whatever it is now, it's worth like 2 or 3 American cents. And it was worth way more than that just a little while ago. So Iran is in a very, very tough place. But you bring up BRICS. I find it fascinating that if America is strategically working the Iranians and they've taken out the Venezuelan former gangster stroke president, this is actually a strategy that could slow the Chinese economy and could be one of the most, I think, damning, surgical, cutthroat things America could do to ascertain a level of dominance that they haven't had over China in terms of, you know, economic pressure. Sanctions wouldn't have worked. None of that stuff would have made a difference. But this is a way to throttle the Chinese economy, if that is a strategy. I'm not saying it is.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a long road.
Where's BRICS? Ben.
Look, it's a very long road to the point that I'm trying to make here is that, again, it goes back to how fucking stupid the ANC is and how they just haven't read the room for so long.
Well, we choose all the worst friends we can.
That's
you
just
talk
it.
About reading the room. And this is like going to, if you were the ANC, you'd walk into a room, you'd find the drunkest, ugliest, most dangerous person in the room and try and be their friend.
So if you're looking long-term economically, which is kind of the point I'm badly making here, is that they thought that that's the way forward because they see political and economic allies. Like, no, they don't give a fuck about you, but also they're not going to help you.
No.
So all this anti-American rhetoric, all this kind of stuff.
I didn't see Russia or China rushing to Venezuela to help Maduro. The Chinese met with him that morning.
No.
And he was abducted by the Americans that evening.
Yeah. So all the stuff that you think these guys are your friends, they don't care about you first and foremost. And now how these things are playing out on top of that, you're with the wrong people. So, yes, there's always a trade-off. Nothing's perfect. But shit, America looks like a better option than these other friends, huh? Tough
reality.
It's amazing.
It's also very funny that Trump keeps talking about Greenland. Greenland is obviously it's one of the bigger islands in the world. It's well into the Arctic Circle. geopolitically, you could argue that it has strategic value, can sense intercontinental ballistic missiles a couple of minutes before the rest of the continental United States, would be a very good naval base for them. There are already American bases there. But the funniest thing is that he's basically said, and this is what makes the change from the former international diplomacy universe that we used to inhabit. You know, there was this world of people would meet at all these summits, G7, G8, G9, G10, G20. They'd get together and they'd talk, and you have a whole bunch of leaders shaking hands and pictures, and nothing would ever happen. There were a couple of trade arrangements made, maybe, but nobody really, you couldn't honestly tell if there were points of agreement or disagreement, and if there were, they kept them quiet, and they'd smile for the cameras and perform like presidents. But these were very inactive people. They didn't produce anything. They didn't noticeably take or use power to the advantage of their countries, right? It's kind of like it was like a high school girl's sorority. They'd all say nice things about each other and like get together for a cup of tea or whatever, but nothing would happen. And the world has changed now. I mean, you could argue that this started with Putin's invasion of Ukraine, but you could also equally argue that it was Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yeah, that was a big
moment. That led to Putin feeling like, okay, well, America's not in charge here, so we'll just do what we've always wanted to do. I don't have to worry under this president, Biden at the time. And he was right. So he took advantage of the situation. Trump is now taking advantage of his situation to do all kinds of things. He said, Greenland have improved their defenses this week. They got an extra dog sled. And he says, it's true. You could check it out. One more dog sled. They're going to be very, very well defended with Russia and China. China come over the sea. They're going to have no defense with their dog sleds. But it's amazing to me to hear that the Danish government are like, well, we'll agree to disagree. And we already have the United States there, and we have no Chinese. It's almost like they're still living in the past. Instead of saying, shit, you know, there's actually nothing we can do if America does decide.
They're living in that trust that people won't do bad things.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem with Europe in general.
I think that, again, if you want to think of Donald Trump as being anything but an evil orange Hitler, which a lot of people are incapable of doing, I think what he's also trying to do with this Greenland thing is he's trying to make Europe wake up to the fact that they actually have no power.
Yeah.
Like Europe has put itself in a position where it is not a serious player. They have no relevance.
They've cucked themselves, basically.
No one is asking what Europe thinks, certainly not what Britain, France, or Germany think, when something major happens in the world. No one needs them, right? And less so South Africa. In case you're in Europe sitting there going, who's this guy talking from? I don't represent the government of South Africa. But let's be honest about the fact that Europe is no longer a player. And Trump keeps saying this Greenland stuff because he's actually just pointing that out to them. He's like, you guys subcontracted your defense to us, and we're sick of paying for that, and we're not going to do it anymore. He said that in his first term. They didn't get the message. Remember, they were, oh, like, this guy's so mean. He's so rude and mean. And why shouldn't you look after us like children? And now he's saying, maybe I'll take Greenland. And you can't do anything about it because you don't have your own military.
Yeah.
There's no – Europe couldn't – I mean, they've been talking about, like, we've got to do more for the Ukraine. What? I think Germany sent some helmets in. You know, France – Macron got up on a soapbox and shook his fists. I don't know what else they think they could do.
What, Keir Starmer going to go and help them?
Keir Starmer is the most unpopular prime minister in British history since Sir Robert Walpole in the 1600s. Do me a favor. If you're looking to Europe for leadership, you are wasting your time.
How does that the next British kind of election thing work? Because I feel like some of these deadbeat prime ministers have come in because their party's been in power,
yeah,
and they've internally made a change without these people being elected. Like, people haven't gone to the polls and gone, Keir Starmer's my guy. He sort of just sort of like inherited or...
I don't know. I mean, I've been less interested in British politics than maybe I was in the era of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, who were just horrible, horrible for Britain, but at least performed like, you know, you should hope leaders would. They were good at acting. They were actors. And we've seen a lot of actors all over the world. Keir Starmer is a cuck actor, and he's also cuck at the job. And people really hate him. His own party hates him. So I don't know how long he'll last. He probably won't last another 6 months. The options for the British are there's Kemi Badenoch, who's in the Conservative Party. She's a very smart woman, would be, I suppose, as good as a prime minister could be. But I don't think the Conservatives have the momentum anymore. It's now gone to people like Nigel Farage, who's Reform UK. The sad thing for Britain, I can't believe we're talking seriously about politics on a Friday morning, but we've got to do it sometime, right? Sad thing for Britain is that the bureaucracy has got so big. It's a welfare state. And the government has grown and grown and grown. You've got the NHS. You've got all of these government departments that do a gazillion things. The people themselves do nothing. They're on the dole, and they've got, you know, Vicky Pollards, basically, and illegal immigrants and, you know, refugees who beat up pensioners on the weekend. And that's – so Britain is very hard to turn around. That bureaucracy is not going to change. Those people don't want to lose their jobs. They all like working for government, and the people of Britain quite like government being responsible for them. It's like being a kid again. You don't have to worry. Mummy and daddy are there until you're 90. Mummy and daddy will look after your health and your education, and will give you money just to live, give you a council house, especially if you're an illegal immigrant. So there's no need for ordinary underachieving Britons to improve their own lives. There are obviously many who would like to, but a lot of them are also sick of paying such exorbitant tax rates, and the tax rates that are being proposed are even worse, that anyone who can make money and produce anything of value in Britain wants to get the hell out. A lot of them are moved to Dubai. A lot of them are moved to America. They've seen one of the largest – I think Britain has lost more millionaires than any other country in the world in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those people, who's going to drag civilization forward in those places? Then you get prime ministers like Keir Starmer. So bad things happen because you deserve them. True. That's the short answer. Yeah. Same's true here. If we keep accepting media as our political leaders, this goes for all the parties. I don't think Cyril is going to be around for very long, a lame duck president as soon as the succession race kicks in. John Stiernes is not going to last in the DA. So what, you pin your hopes on what, Herman Mashaba? The Groene Volts? Who would you like? Tell me what you'd like, because sometimes, again, you get the government you deserve. If you're a nation that accepts mediocrity, you're going to get mediocrity. Is that enough politics for this morning? What do you think, James?
I think it's more than
all right. All right, very good. Well, thank you, Ben. I will see you next week.
Yeah.
Marvelous stuff. Yeah?
Yeah, next week.
You're doing some traveling this year?
Just actually next Friday, I'm going to Cape Town quite early. So,
and you did mention the Kruger Park and floods.
Yeah.
When are you headed there?
I'm going there on February the 20th.
They've had really, really bad floods there.
Horrendous.
Oh.
February the 4th, I'm going to be in Sun City, so I won't be in studio.
Mm-hmm.
We'll chat about this in the status meeting there.
Cool. All right. Just checking on what your schedule's like. It's always crazy. I see here, history tells a story about Europe, says Herman. I don't know what you're trying to do, Gareth. You think this conversation is changing anything in Europe? You don't even have the majority of South Africa's ear. What? All these... Listen, I talk about things that are interesting to me. If you don't find them interesting, Herman, go and find something else to listen to. I didn't wake up this morning and go, fuck, I really got to make Herman laugh. I've got to make Herman think. If I don't do that, what kind of a person am I? If you find none of what I've said to be particularly interesting, then there's probably someone a lot dumber that would appeal to you more on your IQ level. Let's go and find them. Okay? I'll help you. I'll hold your hand, and I'll show you how the internet works. Spusiso says, poverty in political leadership in South Africa. We need to look outside of the current political system for our next president. My money is on Patrice. Okay, I like the way that Spusiso is at least thinking outside of the box. This is good. And then we've got silence is not a sound from Veronica. Very good. Congo Chris says, Pieter Groenewald for president. There was a movement on social media. I don't know if you saw this during the holidays, where people were celebrating Piet Groenewald and what he's done in the Department of Correctional Services. Now, I wouldn't say I've been paying a huge amount of attention to that, but it's maybe time for us to check in on what all these different ministers have done. I mean, for heaven's sake, I didn't even know Dion George, Minister of Fisheries and Forestry, was even a minister until he decided to resign from the DA this week. So there we go. Slippery Pickle says, Zuma's daughter sent manpower to the Ukraine and they strapped an anti-tank missile to the one guy. Wow. I know that she sent people there, Duduzile, and I know that they found themselves suddenly in a war zone in uniform fighting for, I think, Russia. Must have been Russia. And were just begging to come home. But I think if you take a job from Duduzile Zuma, you probably deserve whatever happens to you. I'm just over here waiting for that fusion technology and the breakthrough there, the anti-gravity technology and technology that bends time and space. We're going to be waiting a little while for all of those things, but I like that you're a big thinker and you've got hopes and dreams. This is terrific. Give us a clue. Kreosa Kryptisa Leidrat says, barely vocal. I'm not sure what you're talking about there, dude. And finally, from the comment section, James, you need to get a trap door with a button for Gareth's desk so he can dispose of guests without them running across the shot to leave. That's a very good idea. A trap door. Yeah. Maybe a dungeon with crocodiles. I'm thinking of a dungeon with crocodiles under that. Congo Chris says, oh, Herman says you don't have the ear of most of South Africa is a hot take for South Africa's number one podcast on Spotify. Yeah, we did very well in the Spotify rankings last year. So thank you to everybody. Honestly, I can't say this enough. Everybody who is here every week to listen to and watch this show, and I know a lot of people pissed off that we've cut down to one a week, but you guys make the show, and it is more than worthwhile for me to come in here every week and have these conversations with you. So I'm thrilled, and if you're thrilled, then let's keep this going as long as we need to. I see Matty Dixon says, let's make Pieter Kriel the new president. He's that kid from the EFF, isn't he? I don't know if he's EFF or if he's just an independent political guy, but he's got a lot of people very, very excited. Whether they're people who support him or hate what he stands for, I don't know. But might be worth getting him in here this year and figuring out what he has to say. Because he does seem to get people very active and very excited. Patrick says, oh my God, you want us to turn into Venezuela tomorrow? I would prefer Malema to Pieter Kriel. Well, again, like I don't want to dwell on Venezuela too long, and we've got a guest joining us in a moment, but the EFF went to Venezuela while Maduro, or could even have been when Chavez, Hugo Chavez, was president. The EFF went on a fact-finding mission to Venezuela, right, to see how successful they had become and learn all their incredibly complex communist ways so they could come back to South Africa and they could see what they could implement here. And I don't know if you noticed that Julius was very upset when America just extracted Maduro from Caracas. I don't know if you noticed that, but he was very, very pissed off, furious, steam coming out of his ears. There are a lot of tin pot dictators and communists all over the world who probably should be quite scared, and we shouldn't allow them to feel too comfortable. I say we, anyone in the world who stands for, you know, freedom, liberty, the ability to decide what to do with your own money, basic stuff like that, you know. That's what we should look for. All right, Temba Robin is well known to South Africa. He's been on the show a couple of times before. He is a content creator. He's a comedian. He's a voiceover artist, and he does lots of very, very cool stuff on TikTok and on Instagram. Instagram's where I follow him. Turns everyday South African moments into viral comedy, and I'm sure you've seen some of his stuff, so it's good to welcome him back to the show. Temba, how the hell are you?
Gareth, I'm good, man. I'm good, good, good. Happy New Year, if people are still saying that.
I'm disappointed. Apparently you had to take kids to school this morning, and that's why you're not in the studio with us. But you're down the road, right?
Yeah, we're not too far. We're actually in Linden. By Joburg standards, that's down the road. I think by Cape Town standards, that's a mile away. But it is one of the side factors. What are the side effects of having kids? You got to cart them places. They can't drive. They don't come with a driver's license.
Were they excited about the first day of school this year, or pissed off?
So I've got two, and they're two very different reactions. My son, who's the older one, despite having been to orientation yesterday for like 2 hours, he absolutely loved it. He got there this morning and absolutely bawled his eyes out. And my daughter, who's a year younger, just walked into a class that she's never been in, and she was like, peace.
Yeah, well,
no tears.
Maybe it's also because girls are more mature than boys earlier, right? Younger. That's kind of what happens.
Well, if ever there was a case study, that was it.
So tell me about the stuff you've been up to over the holidays. Did you go away? Did you do anything fun? Were you busy content creating the whole way through it? What did you do?
I feel like I'm gonna throw my kids under the bus now. But
you already have. You blame them for not being in studio. So yeah, might as well while they're at school, just say. Say all the things about them that have ruined your life.
Yeah, man. So what happens is, and I don't think people talk about this enough, is your kids go to school and you enjoy having your days to yourself as an adult. You see them in the afternoons. That's really great. It's special. It's great time. Then all of a sudden holidays come along. You think, yes, I don't have to do the school drop-off anymore. This is brilliant. But what you do also realize is now you've got a tiny person that requires entertainment all day from you, all day, every day. So you just, Gareth, I'd be lying if I said I swept about 100 times. I made a million meals. So that kind of sums up my December. I did try to take a little getaway to Cape Town with the family, which was equally a terrible idea, because everyone was there. Let's just say I came back to this year not as rested as I have been in previous years.
Listen, I think parents, at the beginning of the holiday, they're excited about the things they're going to do with their kids. They're like, oh, we're going to get some quality time. We're going to go on a holiday somewhere, or we're going to have Christmas or whatever. I think within a few days, that illusion is shattered. And most parents you admitted it, but most parents won't. Their favorite week is when the kids go back to school.
Right? One of the teachers asked us, like, are you guys going to be crying? I was like, no, no one's crying. Like, half the parents are like, well, none of us are crying. We are happy to go back to the soulless job where we answer emails.
Sit there like
just to have a bit of alone time.
Like an automaton. Interesting. It's interesting also to talk to people who are now obviously getting their kids back to school, starting work again, all of the usual humdrum stuff. For many people, that first day of school is an emotional thing. I think it's especially for kids going to school for the first time, right? So like first grade one at primary school is a big deal.
And maybe
when they first go to nursery school. But I think for a huge number of people, school is just a really convenient place to not have to think about them for a little while.
Yeah, I think it is. But I mean, we tried to do – so let me put it this way. I was actually chatting to my mom about it yesterday, saying I had a perfectly planned out thing. You have the kid stays at home till he's six. You know, you don't pay school fees or anything. And then you send them to grade one. That's how it would work. And so my son was like two, and we were both working from home, my wife and I. And he was running amok, and we thought we would do this whole like work from home and manage him thing, but they need constant attention, and it's that same old thing. People say kids are naughty. No, they're not stimulated. You know, I'd also start acting out if I had nothing to do or nowhere to be. So
But yeah, do you feel pressure to entertain your children the whole time? Because I again think about my childhood, and I'm like, there were loads of times where I would say to my mom, "I'm bored," and then she, or my brother and I would both accost this poor woman by saying, "We're bored," and she would chase us out of the house and say, "Just go and find something to do, make a swing in a tree, build a fort, go and fucking play in the river. Just make sure you don't kill yourselves. Just get out of my house."
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about giving or making your kids go and be independent. I don't think it's healthy for kids to need you for 8 hours a day just at their beck and call and stuff. I think it's really important for kids to at least, I mean, and please, nobody take this like I'm trying to talk like some sort of professional.
I asked you, so I'll take the blame.
Yeah, like I think my lighties can play for like two hours maybe by themselves, just actually with each other, and they just do their own thing. But yeah, man, I think there's something to be said about the olden days. You know, I dare not say the good old days because that'll get everyone in trouble. But the olden days, you know, the community would look after the kids.
The olden days. all right, I do want to move on to something else. You told me, I didn't even know these things were out there. Apparently the Have Ray-Ban brought out these Meta glasses? Are they available now, or are they still in production, still being R&D'd? What's the story there? Because I'm not interested. I don't need AI glasses. Okay. I'm okay with – I still want to use a device and then be able to put it away. It mustn't be built into me. I'm not going to be running to Elon for that chip in my head either, if you ask me.
So I don't know a hell of a lot about whether you can buy them yet or not. I actually bought them off a guy. So I love doing like motoring content and that sort of thing.
So you've got some?
Yeah. I've got a pair here actually.
Ah, wow. Well, let me see. Do they look any different?
They're a bit more chunky, much like myself.
That's all
right.
Pretty
normal, but yeah. And then they've got a camera in each side there.
Son of a bitch. So in other words, you could be walking up to me or sitting with me at a lunch or something, and you could be filming the whole thing through your glasses.
Well, it does have a light that goes on when it records. I think it's a good attempt at making people aware that they're being recorded, but that could be a bit of sunshine bouncing off the black frame. Yeah. I'm not too sure. So,
and people will find a way to cover the light, dude.
That's also, yeah, so this is my question.
Black cokey pen, are you kidding? You could cover that. You know, a bunch of freak shows just recording. It's bad enough that everybody walks around like this instead of actually looking each other in the eye. Now you're going to have these things automatically recording? Have you used them for creating some content yet?
Yeah. So I use them when I'm driving. If I'm doing like a bit of a driving bit of content like that makes sense, because in the driving stuff, you always got to have your 10 to 2. You always got to have your hands in. Because the moment you're driving like this, someone's like, "Oh, good, you're committing a felony." And then, you know, they don't like your content anymore. So it's good for that. But I think that's my thought now as I'm going, you know, we look at all the tech that we've got. We look at how AI is being used so badly. People are really getting bad with stuff. And I was watching a video the other day about Airbnbs. Apparently, there's been a wildfire of people managing to hide cameras in clocks and, like, just ceiling fans and all sorts of things. It's getting
what for? Well, like, what are they? What are they trying? Are they worried that someone's stealing from the room? Are they just peeping toms? What would be the reason to do this?
21st century peeping toms, man. No, it's no longer a gap in the fence. You know, it's now guys renting out houses and then watching you during your special time in December. And that's the question, you know, does this lead us into a path where now you can do that everywhere? I love technology, but man, it's sometimes you've got to ask yourself a question and go,
So now you actually have to look at everybody who's wearing sunglasses and try to figure out whether they've got the sunglasses that could be recording you. I mean, you could be in a business meeting. This is probably already happening. People record voice notes or whatever, but that's audio. Imagine you're having a confidential discussion with someone about your marriage breaking down or something. A serious conversation. Yeah. You don't know, but the fuck is broadcasting it to all his YouTube followers, and you have no idea, right?
This is it, man. This is it. And I think, look, to be honest with you, yeah, glasses allow you to do that, but I think there's just already so much out there. Neither of us, and I'm assuming none of the people watching, are inclined to do anything like this, but I think this sort of technology has been out there for a while now. And yeah, I think there's a whole nother world that exists that we don't know about, man. And so, yeah, I don't know. I find these particularly useful for myself, but it does make me a bit scared of the world out there and whose hands they might fall into.
Put them on. We need to see what you look like with these. First of all, as a warning so that people can avoid you if they see you heading towards them with your sunglasses.
And put posters everywhere.
Beware of this man. He's actually recording you right now. So when you record, how does it stream straight to your laptop or phone, or how does it work?
It goes to an onboard. So there we go. I just took a now I'm recording. So you can see how that light.
Put him on main stone, full screen. Let me see there. Yeah, but I mean
it's not huge.
No. All right. I wouldn't think that was record. I wouldn't know.
No, exactly. So it's.
So where does it go to? It goes to your phone.
Yeah. So it goes directly onto your glasses for the temp, and then once you're ready to download, you can just download it to your Meta app.
And do you have to charge it with a USB-C or something? I don't know how any of this. I love gadgets, but I need to know how this works.
Yeah, here's the case. So the case.
Oh, so it charges from the case.
From the case, straight in there.
Wow.
So it says it's charging.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Okay.
So if you see anybody with one of those, just be wary.
Yeah, they're a peeping Tom, a creep. I do like them, though, and they look good on you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So you did a bit of flying over, which is always just the most awful thing, and I posted something on Instagram yesterday about how if you want to know about, like, why the improvement of technology and progress for no reason is dumb unless you can make people's lives better. And obviously it's good that we can get into a plane and we can be in Cape Town in 2 hours or in Durban in an hour or in New York in 16. But air travel is a very humbling thing, right? It doesn't matter how much money, even if you're traveling first or business class, you're still in the same metal tube as everyone else. You're getting there in the same amount of time. You're breathing the same filthy, dirty air that everyone else on the plane is. Everything smells like chicken or beef. People are shitting in that toilet and making that ruining the experience. It feels like, I mean, there's really no difference between that and a Greyhound bus, is there?
Yeah. No, not at all. And I think looking, I could observe people at airports for hours, man. It's such a beautiful cross section of society, and then you get everyone in one place. Like you say, it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or a pauper or whatever, you still pretty much go through the same security thing unless you're with Discovery and you get that fast pass thing and you get to flex your superiority over the poor plebs who have to walk that infinite zigzag back and forth for an hour. You know, we're all going to the same place. You know, some people might be going to lounges, some of us stare out the big window. But it also shows just how illogical some people can be. And I've got a gripe that I'll hit now, but the impatience. How is it that grown adults on a plane are so uncontrollably impatient that everyone knows stay seated till the plane stops? There's always one Jack in the Box, man.
Yep.
And then he stands. He's then seat B. he stands like this with his neck buggered. The stairs haven't even come yet.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Then he runs to the carousel and he gets right there to the little red line. His bag is like midway through. So then everybody's got to fight past this guy.
Yeah.
It's just.
But Temba, I find like people are, and sometimes I've been that impatient guy. Their brains switch off. On planes, they only think of themselves. It's remarkable to me how people will pull down a bag while everybody else is crowded around them. There's still people sitting right under the bag. The bag falls onto those people, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think was going to happen? They go into like an automatic, disconnected, not very smart mode where it almost becomes like primitive man. They've got their little bit of territory. You know, if you put your feet over there instead of over here, if you put them too far forward, the guy in the seat in front of you like starts kicking them. If you put them,
you ever get one of those people that do that backflex thing where they fight the person behind them?
Yeah, that also happens. So I did myself a huge favor in December. I decided I wasn't going to fly anywhere. So I managed to stay at home for the entire holiday, which was just amazing. I think it's so brave that you went to Cape Town. Loads of my friends are in Cape Town sending me pictures. How great it was, how amazing. The weather was terrific. It's the most beautiful city in the world. I get it. I had no FOMO at all. But it's nice to be where the action is, I suppose. And Cape Town with your family, that must have been a trial.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Cape Town.
The expense of it, dude. I mean, just to buying normal things, going to normal places, outrageous, right?
Well, finding a place to stay. I could have stayed in Mauritius for the price. it's insane, man. And I'm sure people are tired of everyone hacking on about Cape Town property prices. It's a hot topic at the moment. But it is. It's crazy, man, to just get an Airbnb and then risk someone filming you also.
Yeah, you're really like worried about
you the royalties.
So are you serious that this isn't – is this just a Temba Robin paranoia, or are there actually people who found cameras in these Airbnbs in South Africa?
Yeah, no. Oh, I don't know about SA, but in the States, so there's a couple of documentaries of people who only found out after the fact. Like someone else found a camera – they found like hard drives full of stuff and then had to go contact the people. I don't know how they contact you. Like if they're watching and they're like, oh, that's Jeff. We should phone Jeff and let him know that him and his missus have been recorded. But
are they maybe extorting money from people? They're like, we'll show everyone your sex tape if you don't pay us money. Or is it the cops who call them? Who is it that gets hold of them?
I think it's somebody who obviously does a little bit of who looks at the alarm clock and goes, "What's an alarm clock doing in a place in 2026 or 2025?" And you look a little closer and you go, "Oh, well, that might be a camera." Then you call the cops and then they do their research and they find that the guy's got hard drives of stuff and he's not extorting anyone,
just a creep,
someone's own sneaky little pleasure. But
I had no idea this was even a thing until you told me this morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I've given everyone something new to worry about.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
On that note, I am releasing my how to find a camera in an Airbnb course for just $50. I can walk you through the whole thing.
is there a way to find out if the room that you're in is bugged? I mean, do you need to call special security people in to do a sweep of the room like they do for the President of the United States? Or is there a way to figure it out just using your own phone? If you go on there and you look for Bluetooth devices, will that maybe it's wired so you wouldn't even have Bluetooth? I don't know how this would work.
Yeah, man. So I think the easiest thing is if there's something old or like untoward, like I say, an alarm clock. Who has an alarm clock anymore? If you've got one of those in a Airbnb, maybe that's a bit dodge. They say that they hide them in smoke detectors often because it gives everyone like quite a good top-down view.
Oh my god!
So it's a scary world out there, man.
Did you know about this, Flex James? Did you know about this thing where people are filming people who stay in B&Bs? This is horrific, Temba. You've ruined everything. I mean, I feel sorry for anybody who has a camera in an Airbnb I'm in because They're gonna be watching a lot of me sleeping, and it's gonna be very boring. Just me rolling to this side, rolling to that side. I don't know how exciting that's going to be. So good luck.
My question though is also it's the same thing when OnlyFans came out. And I know there's an element of loneliness in there, and that's another thing. But I'm saying when OnlyFans came out and people were like, oh no, you just put in your credit card details and then you can get free or you get content. I was like, dude. If you're that way inclined, if you'd love to see boobs, you can go to Google and just type in boobs.
Oh, there's so much. Like, why would you pay for it? Yeah.
Why would you put your details pay? And, you know, there's real people in the world also.
Maybe the thrill is that it's an actual person that you know or someone that you've met as opposed to a complete stranger. Maybe that's the only thing I could figure out that may have some pulling power for these people, but you have to be a
thrill seeker.
But you have to be a pretty sad individual. I mean, the person who's watching this, who's running the Airbnb, they're sitting in another room and they've got the screen on and they're like, he's going to make some coffee now. Because, I mean, yes, if there's going to be any excitement, it'll probably be at night, the guy and his girlfriend, wife, whoever it is. But it's not going to be all day, so you have to sit and monitor that thing. Most of the time you're going to be seeing, I think he just went for his third dump of the day, or he's opening the window. He's opening the window. Quickly, got to go and check this out. Let's zoom in on that, see how he opens the – he opens the window differently to the way Temba Robin did the other day. This is just crazy. Like, your life has to be so empty.
Two things are, I would love to find someone who is completely disinterested in anything in the bedroom and just really is completely engaged in just watching someone sitting on a couch. Like, that makes their day. But in the same breath, I feel like we're throwing shade at these people as if Big Brother wasn't a huge thing once upon a time, which... You know, I don't know. Was that the gateway?
You're not wrong.
Did Big Brother create these monsters?
You're not wrong. I think that there are people who are just genuinely fascinated in other people to the degree where they could watch them all day. And maybe they have something that you and I don't. Or we have something that they don't. Who knows? All right. So let's talk about some other things that are going on at the moment, because you've been making all these brilliant clips. And I laugh a huge amount about, you know, you come up on my feed and then I just start laughing, and I love that. It's my new watchword for the year. I'm spending this year laughing.
But before the video starts playing, I just pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you do. You're like, hey, what's going on here?
Sure.
So I just want to – have you got – I asked James to just find one or two quick videos that we could show people who don't already know and don't follow you what they're missing. Have you got one of those, James? Okay, play this for us quickly, and you can then give us the context afterwards.
Oh, no.
Why, hello there, and welcome to the International Safari. Today, we observe a creature that has gotten more South Africans shoulder to shoulder than those chairs at Home Affairs, and has put more actors out of work than AI and the SABC. Camouflaged here in the autumn leaves of the Seine River, we spot the mighty acrobatic Boc du Soleil, otherwise known as Amaboko Boko. Having migrated some 12,500 kilometers from the tip of Africa, this species has very few natural predators, namely a feral barret and a gardener, and some other smaller predators not worth mentioning because what's the point? This seemingly docile creature has been known to devour kangaroos, kiwis, and most recently the cherry blossom. But its insatiable appetite has its hunt turned towards le coq gaulois, the French rooster. As with all things in nature, this battle will not be an easy one. Trying not to be eaten by the French will be the escargot, Khaleesi, emerging for its 100th time, 50 of which under the spirit and guidance of Rossiology. And so we prepare for the battle between two incredible predators, united by their love of rugby and their commiseration for stolen gems. I personally believe the Boc will show great resilience and keep sportsmanship intact in a battle where the only mercy will be the thanks for having us. Go Boca.
I love that. That was obviously around the World Cup, right?
No, it was actually just towards the end of last year. Our last game against the French, yeah.
And you were in Paris for that, clearly.
Yeah, I went to Paris. My wife and I decided we would leave the children at home and save on the flight cost. No,
so it's very well put together, beautifully edited. You've obviously thought it through. There are lots of different things going on there. But I always wonder, when you have to set up for something like this, do you get a little self-conscious? Like, I feel very stupid even taking a selfie with other people in it in a public place. I always feel like I look a bit lame. And you have to record this stuff. Plus, you're dressed up there. You got wardrobe. You got your little Springbok soft toy. You've obviously got cameras. This is a lot to put together. And there are people walking past, no doubt.
So when I first started making these videos, I'd do them at home in my garden, which was great. Mm. All the privacy I ever needed. And then I kind of ventured out. And, oh, man, it is a weird one. Like, I did one with the robots once in four ways, which is, like, the busiest place to do
one. Oh, man.
That was quite fun because there's so many people that you don't have time to concentrate on a single person. It's almost doing, like, a show for one person versus, like, a thousand. But usually I always try and find, like, the quietest place. I searched for, like, 15 minutes to find a little spot on the river where, like, no one was going to come past. Look, it's France, so who are they going to tell?
Do you feel while you're doing this? Because I would be so awkward. I'm used to cameras and things like you. You're way better at it than I am, but I would feel so dumb, like talking to my phone and recording this stuff. And maybe it's my insecurity more than anything else. You have to overcome that if you're going to be doing the kind of stuff you do, right? You just have to, like, not give a shit, set it up, press record, go. If you have to do it again, do it again. How long does it take you to usually record things like that?
I try not to do anything more than three times. So, like, I'll try and do a full run through almost like as a practice. Second one should be the one, and then a third one as a backup. But also, because I don't want anybody to start watching, because that'll ruin it for me. If somebody goes, oh, he's doing something, let me stop and look, I will pack up and leave. Sorry,
oh, really?
I'm not doing a one-man show.
So if they decide they're going to put out a camp chair and watch you do your thing, that's going to that'll ruin everything.
No, I'm absolutely gone. So that's the thing. But, I mean, half the time I think of an idea, I script it out. I think of an idea, I'm like, that's cool. I script it out and I'm like, okay, it's working. I shoot it and I'm like, this is a terrible idea. This is stupid. Then I watch it and I'm like, it's marginally funny. And like, my wife doesn't think I'm very funny. So like, I don't even have the privilege of going, hey babe, what do you think of this? Because then I would never have released any content ever. I would have just done what
have
I wanted.
Have you ever roped her in to be your cameraman?
Yeah, so she had to do it that day. Because I didn't have a tripod,
right?
And that even is a little bit self-conscious, like having somebody not laughing behind the camera. then you know, you're like, if the camera person's not laughing, what hope in hell do I have of making Bongani and Peter laugh on the internet?
What do you think the longevity of a content creator? And obviously, there's different kinds of content creators, and there's different kinds of audiences, but how do you, because you've been doing this for a while, someone said in the comments, by the way, that you are the best thing to ever come out of PE, which I thought it's a bit of a barbed compliment, you know, as PE goes, it's not the nicest thing you'd say about it. It is nicer than saying you're the worst thing to come out of PE. Saying you're the best thing to come out of PE is like saying to someone, you know, you're the most intelligent person in the mongoloid class. You know, it's not great.
Look, man, I mean, CS out of PE, there's a couple of greats. I won't say PE is an incredible place, but it does produce, I think it's the old diamond theory. There's a lot of coal there.
Yeah.
But every now and then a diamond squeezes out. So thank you to whoever said that.
Okay, then there are questions here from people. Impatience is linked to them. Okay, that's not what I was looking for. Every camera angle is a high angle for Temba. Congo Chris criticizing your height there.
If that's Chris, I think I've worked with Chris before.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for you. That's all I can say. Do you have other people who stand in as cameraman when you're in South Africa? When you know, it's not you and your wife traveling to Paris, but.
No, I will always first choice tripod man. Just,
really?
Like I'm incredibly self-conscious shooting my own stuff. If it's a scripted thing for like an advert or something, can do it. But shooting my own stuff, I want to be by myself.
What kind of stuff that you've done already has got the best reactions in terms of overall numbers, in terms of people who want to engage on it, that's been controversial, that's been hilarious, that's got you on other media? Like what stuff has really worked for you?
I think every now and then there's one in like a genre that works. So the safari stuff's probably still the biggest, like 2 million views in a week. And that's like just
shit.
Geographically all over the world, like people from all over just writing in. And that was quite a cool experience because a lot of people were writing in, and I always had this concept that South Africans were the only ones with potholes. And comment section.
A lot.
People are like, come to Australia, come here, come there, come there. And I realized, man, South Africans, we love our own problems. It's like, it's our load shedding. Like,
yeah,
you've got power cuts, but we have load shedding kind of thing. But so it's that stuff. Look, I mean, I'm in my parenting age now, so a lot of the parenting stuff resonates well with people out there fighting the good fight. And then I've recently started doing neighborhood groups. I've created this character, Neville and Lovu, and Neville's.
I've seen this.
Got this irritating guy, Brian.
Have you got a video of Neville? All right, let's just see it. James says he thinks he's got a Neville video. Let's show everybody this.
How's it, Brian? Brian, how's it? Neville here from the HOA. I don't think you maybe recognize me because I got these new specs. Okay, our doctor says I got to get them for my cataracts. Listen, Brian, I can see very clearly now, you see, with the new specs, and I can see that you're bright. You know, I get the whole get December thing, and, you know, I'm always game for a little bit of a cheeky soiree, you know, if you ask the neighborhood. I've even been known to dabble in a little bit of the licorice Zambuki, so, you know, I'm all for a good time. But the smoke, Brian, it's a lot, man. It's actually making it a bit difficult to brine my vegan sausages here, man. I can smell there's a camel thorn wood. That's very strange, since we are a gas neighborhood, since the vote at our last HOA. The smoke is too much, Brian. It's tainted. I don't know if you're cooking a whole kudu there or what, man, but it's tainted my vegan sausages, and I won't have it, man, Brian. So, man, I don't know, maybe you wanna refrain from making smoke. Maybe you wanna cook your kudu in a pan, maybe. Or next time, just brush some bread, you know? That'll be fine. At the very least, actually, you could just be a nice neighbor, Brian, and maybe invite me around for a while, you know? I might even bring my Zambuki, actually. Maybe you think about that for a second, Brian. I'm going to go get my Zambuki. Just watch my sausage. I think that dog, that fox terrier from Edenvale, is still around here somewhere. Just hold up, watch my sausage.
That's beautiful, dude. That is so clever. And we all know people
ridiculous
like that, right?
It back.
Who is that? Is there a real person that you've based that on?
Yeah, man. So, not singularly. I think there's just enough stories floating around to make up that character. Because I mean, everybody always says they're all like, "Oh, there's a Neville in our neighborhood." But there's one chap. He actually doesn't live on my street, but everybody knows that I love this sort of stuff, so they screenshot it to me. And he caught two people doing the dirty dance. They were having sex on the bench in the park.
Oh, wow.
And so he sent a message on the group to tell everyone. He's like, nobody panic, guys. I caught these guys having the sex on the bench, and I stopped it. I busted them. And then he's taken a photo of them as they were walking away. And he's like, all good. You know, the neighborhood is safe now. And everyone was just like, mate, you know, we have more questions about how did you bust
it? Yeah, we want to know more. This is, you know, usually these neighborhood groups are awful. I mean, my one has turned into like a secondhand sales platform. So someone wants to get rid of their dining room table. But in the case of two people caught having sex on the bench, you want more information, not less.
Yeah.
You want to know what's happened?
Let me pose the question to you. If you had to bust two people on a bench having sex, what would your approach be?
No, I would be so embarrassed for myself and them. I'd just turn and pretend I'd seen nothing. I wouldn't get involved in that shit. Would you go up to them and go, excuse me, while they're in flagrante delicto? You would go, hi, I'm Timber. I'm on the HOA. I just want to tell you it's not allowed for you to have the sex on the bench here.
According to section 45.
As Neville said, you know, at the last HOA meeting, we all decided that we're a neighborhood that doesn't approve of like public sex. So please don't do this.
But I don't know. I'm just like, did he run up? Because it's also a really wide open area. So he must have run from far away and either been in stealth mode or like running and shouting. And then he did us all the favor of putting the photo of them walking away. So I'm like, so if this happened, man, the lady's wearing pants. They're both wearing pants. I'm like, did you wait there for them to get dressed and then follow them up? There's just so much about this. And then what made you think that we should all know about this? That your good deed should.
So this like, guy was
we're
the,
not giving
the
ins- an award out.
He's the inspiration for Neville, but I just wonder, like, some people obviously, like the peeping Toms we were talking about earlier too, there are clearly a lot of people who have plenty of time on their hands and are very interested in what the rest of us are doing.
Yeah. Strolling around the neighborhood, seeing whose pavers have moved.
Right.
Checking what degree your solar panels are at.
Correct.
Yeah, flip, man. I don't know if it says, again, like I mentioned earlier, the loneliness factor. I don't know if that is, if that's killing people. Because to your point, I think if I saw two people making out on a bench or doing the lick de la grande, or I don't know what word you said, I would carry on. If there's no kids around, have at it, man.
I certainly wouldn't get involved, if you know what I mean. I wouldn't like make myself a nuisance, and I wouldn't hang around and watch. There's very, very few people in the world that I think are worthy of being watched while they're doing that stuff. Most ordinary
people. What if they
people,
don't stop?
Dude, for some people that might be a little thing that maybe that's why they're doing it publicly. You got to think about this. So you might get yourself involved in something you really don't want to be involved in. Think twice is all I'll say.
We've uncovered the deviance today.
Yeah, I think this is the start of a year, a new year, and everybody's thinking about what they're going to be doing and where they're going to go. Have you got any strong opinions, resolutions, things that you are absolutely going to avoid this year, people who've pissed you off that you're not going to make any effort with, people you really want to see, things you want to do?
Yeah, man, I think it's definitely a year of like I struggle with being able to – say no to things, and then I get roped in and like overworked. So this year I'm really going to focus on my own thing. Say no to things I don't want to get involved in, because also you end up working, building everybody else's stuff up. You've got two or three things that you want to do for yourself, but you know, 2-3 years go by and you haven't done it.
I know. So I saw you last year. You and I were both at like some women's breakfast, and I was like, what the hell are we doing here?
me, you, and Loy, the only three guys.
Me, you, and Loisa, it was ridiculous. We were the only three men. Like, it's a target-rich environment, and it's certainly a prettier picture than like an average bar or, you know, restaurant in Joburg. So I wasn't unhappy about that, but it was so bizarre. There was this room with, I don't know, 1,000 women in it, and just you, me, and Loisa. Very strange.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, I think that's it. Is even as far as giving, because man, if you're not giving, you're an asshole. And I think you know we can all give to a certain extent, but it's not my job to prop up the entire country. And you know you can't work for every single charity and stuff. So I've got my handful of charities that I'll work for, and you know give my time to early childhood development and animals and that. But other than that, I feel like everybody else has to fend for themselves, or someone else can take that.
the breakfast we were at was for the Smile Foundation, who are terrific. They do really great work. People with kind of facial deformities, cleft palates, that kind of thing, and they, kids, you know, who if you can sort that out when they're young, they won't have a speech impediment or difficulty in communicating later on in life. So it's a very good cause, and I agree with you. You've got to have something that you do that is not just for you.
Yeah, yeah. But then you also have to do stuff for yourself. And I think a lot of people, I was talking to someone the other day, and this poor girl, she takes care of all her family matters. Every time there's a problem, she does it. She's completely spent. And I just said to her, like, listen, at some point, you've got to look after yourself. You've got to put yourself first, man, because no one – what's the age-old saying? You say, givers need to know when to stop giving because takers never know when to stop taking, or something to that.
I like it. I like it. I feel for people who either their parents are just useless and they expect the kids to look after them in their old age, or the kind of kid who stays with their parents for too long and they make themselves a burden there. You know, just know when you're overstepping the line. Some people just don't have any sense for that. You have to hammer it into them with words on a poster. You have to hold up a poster saying, isn't it time you moved out? Or isn't it time you looked after yourself? Got a job. Do something.
All the stuff that used to happen naturally, it was all instinctual. Now you've got to go and tell people. Go out there. Find some friends.
Telling you, man. Yeah, it's very bad. All right. So listen, we can tell people where they can follow you and where they can get more of your stuff. I love Neville. Neville's my new favorite character. I'm going to be watching out for him. But you're mostly on TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much all the major old people platforms, the Facebook, the Instagram, the TikTok.
Oh, you're there as well. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the young people platforms if those are the old people ones?
I don't know. It's people on Twitch? Just think of a verb. There's probably an app with that name, and that's for the young people. Like, boosh.
All right, so I'm not Timber, any of those. At Timber Robin on all of those.
That's correct, sir.
Beautiful. All right, dude. Well, listen, it's lovely to see you. Good luck with the new school year with your kids. I understand you had to take them to school this morning, but next time let's have you here in the studio. It'll be lovely to see you.
Definitely, without a doubt, man. Thank you for having me, and same to you, man. Have a blessed year, and same to everybody
watching. All right, everybody. Cheers. Thank you for an excellent morning. Thank you, Timber. Thank you, Ben and Leanne, and most especially thank you to you. We will see you next Friday for more. If you've got any things that you want to suggest, people you think would make great guests, stuff you want us to talk about, if you hate something so tremendously that this morning has been a huge disappointment for you, send the email. I mean, I can't guarantee it will be read, but let us know, certainly. All you have to do is follow the links. And, of course, you can bombard James with all the stupid emails that you would like, including rude photographs that you've taken at your B&B while people are sleeping or whatever it is through your camera and the alarm clock that Timber warned us about. Send them all to James. He'd be thrilled to see them. What is it again, James? There it is. James@thereal-network.com. Send us all of that crap. All right, everybody. Have an awesome weekend. We'll see you on Friday.